headed.
Okay, Lori, ready, Adrian?
Yes.
All right. Where is Annette? Is she here? Yes, please. And Jennifer. Where's Jennifer?
Jennifer,
should be here. Hector's here. There he is. He's over there. Huh? There's Jennifer. There's Hector. There's M&K is here. Shouts and controls. Carl, how are you, sir?
Good afternoon. Long day.
Hello. Okay, so Johnson Controls. Jerry's here. All of them are here.
Yes. First time to say it.
Is it?
Yeah.
It really shouldn't take super long.
It should.
I always say that, don't we?
I just bless it right off the bat. Let's go.
No, but the last ones we've had haven't been.
No.
We've had a lot of items and we do a few hours and that's it.
We might get caught up on the finance.
Yeah, maybe the finance and maybe. Annette, how are you?
How are you, sir?
Good, and you?
Good. Okay.
All right.
With still surviving?
All right.
Still surviving?
How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fine. How are you?
Jerry, ¿cómo estás?
Yeah, how are you?
Oh, yeah?
End of the day.
Can't complain, man.
Hello, sir. How's it going?
All right.
Yeah. Isn't that the best thing?
Is this on already? Okay. All right, let me go ahead and call this to work. All right. All right, good evening, everyone. Calling this meeting to order. This is a meeting of the Finance Audit Facilities Planning Committee. Today is March 13th, 2013. The time is 6:10 p.m. Ms. Cortez, would you please call roll for the committee?
Mr. Sergio Coronado?
Here.
Mr. Adrian Medina?
Here.
Mrs. Laura Searles?
Here.
All committee members present?
Thank you. Next agenda item.
Agenda item 2A, audit. Presenter, Mr. Rodriguez. First item, compliance calendar.
Good evening, Hector.
Good evening, committee members, Ms. Brigham. And so I'd like to present this month's compliance calendar. And this month we focused on two activities. The first activity is follow-up with the TA ARA audit. And the corrective activity that we focused on was CISD will implement RIN procedures to ensure job descriptions are updated annually or when the job function responsibilities change. So we worked with the Human Resources Department and requested the RIN procedures to be provided to internal audit in February. They were provided in March, and I reviewed them, and I believe that they're adequate and they address the condition. So the recommendation has now been closed. We also looked at another corrective activity, which was related to the textbook audit, and we worked with the Information Technology Department. Information security policies will be strengthened or developed. And so we were provided a preliminary plan as to the different activities that are going to be performed related to information security. And so going forward, they're going to be updating me on the implementation of this plan. Does anybody have any questions?
Lori?
And you will obviously be updating us on the plan?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. That's all.
All right. Adrian?
No questions.
Rachel? All right. Thank you, Hector.
I will take us to item 2A2, hotline update.
And so we see that the hotline update, we have one report that we had closed in December, for the month of December. We have approximately four reports that we received in the month of January that have been closed. We received two reports in February, and those are in progress, and then we received one in March, which is also in progress. Does anybody have any questions related to a specific report?
Any? No. I don't have any questions. The other item, actually, I think we could probably, and I should have brought this up on our compliance calendar, but now that we have the issues with respect to our policy development with respect to the both our internal audit and the TEA audit, maybe we ought to, it's time after, I guess after tomorrow night, to put that on our compliance calendar as well. With respect to the policies that we're developing.
We have, yeah, that would be fine. Oh, sorry.
Just so that we can put it on a timeline. And
it's on the corrective action plan that
yes.
we have. There is timelines. I met with the high school today, told them that this was going to be implemented, the expectations, and we've already started, and we've had the two contracted employees came in. So I've met with been meeting with Hector, and I think we'll have that finished by tomorrow, the at least most of the timeline's done by tomorrow, at least for the, when the policies, when you sit, can start being looking forward to seeing the regulations come up.
Good, and maybe we could just put it on the compliance calendar so we can bring it up.
I can do that. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Just happy. To let you know, that document is very similar to this one.
Uh-huh.
It's an independent, comprehensive corrective action plan, mm-hmm. which
right.
addresses both the internal audit conditions plus the TA conditions, and it's a growing document, a living document.
Yes.
We started with 50 corrective activities, and it's growing now.
Yeah.
So it could include, you know, all the different pieces of work that we have to accomplish.
But yeah. You know, Mr. Medina, it is 50. However, you know, there is an action item, there's a procedural item, and then there's an auditing item. So we're they're being linked. So in other words, we're going to do it, we're going to show you we're doing it, and then we're going to evaluate it's being done. So it's not, so yes, it sounds like, it is a lot, but then we've added because I was like, oh, yeah, this, and you know, because not just for the purpose to add them, but to add, because we've been working together, every time we meet, I say, well, you know, I think we need to add this. And he'll say, that's a good idea. You know, and we're putting it in because, and I have the personnel, you know, that's going to be here, and that we can get it done. And I think it's just more, it's to solidify that the action that we're doing is very well linked to the two audits. So, but he's very much we're doing it. So we're trying to write it in so that compliance, are you going to say, or that, you know, from the audit is part of the action, so that it's an ongoing, that it's not something that just happens. It's going to be ongoing. So he's going to check, and then after that check, we revisit it and fine tune, because it's different than just because we want it to get right and to be practiced.
Right, but that way we can put it on mm-hmm. the compliance calendar. We can have the update, and not only that, we can mm-hmm. Be able to indicate which persons are responsible, and maybe for any different items, so that we can, anybody that has any questions about something that comes up, we can direct our.
And we can get them a copy of that.
I'll get you an official copy.
Mm-hmm. We were just fixing the timelines and the personal people responsible. But I think that will be ready by tomorrow.
Okay.
Great.
Mm-hmm. All right. Good
to hear.
All right. Okay. Next agenda item.
Agenda item 2A3, policy DSC, local selection of an audit firm.
And so as part of the audit plan, we had a project on there, which is the Financial External Auditor Rotation Consulting Project. And we have a policy in place where it requires mandatory rotation of external auditor every 5 years. And so we analyzed best practices related to rotating audit firms. And We also did some research related to the area here. We concluded that GRP is the audit firm that provides most of the audit firm services to the districts here in the El Paso area. There's only one other school district, Fabens ISD, which reported to be using a different audit firm, which is Smith & Reeves, Certified Public Accountants from Monahans, Texas. We also reviewed the pros and cons related to rotating the external auditor. And in the document that I issued, it was a short memo plus, you know, many articles attached. There was arguments for and against. And so I just wanted to bring, you know, this information to the board for consideration related to the policy for the mandatory audit rotation.
And if I may add, if you recall from last year we went out for a bid, and the interest was little to none. That those firms that were interested either didn't have any school district experience or Texas school district experience. With hesitation, we brought forth a name. However, in the discussion, and because we still had one additional year to work with GRP, the board decided that we just remain with the existing audit firm. However, this is the fifth year, and I guess one of the concerns I've expressed to Mr. Rodriguez is that in the event that we don't have many interested applicants in the external audit, what, you know, should we consider looking at the policy? Will the board consider making a concession or changing? I guess I'm kind of in a bind, wondering what are we going to do if we don't have anybody but GRP with the qualifications. What I will let you know is that the bid was to close March 15th. However, we extended it through April 1st. With the assistance of the Internal Audit Office, we contacted firms that work with other Texas school districts, about 20 of them. Some of them said they weren't interested, but we did actually give information to about 10 additional firms. There is Ron just did a quick view to see how many hits have gone in to see the bid, and there is at least 10. So, you know, we'll kind of weigh it out as soon as the bid closes. I guess I just realized that at the point of the bid closing and we actually start reviewing, we can't go back and change the policy. And I guess I just wanted to make sure that we were all in, you know, on the same page as to what happens if we don't have
I think if the bid closes and we don't have anybody else but our current, then we'll take a look at it and we can, I mean, obviously the board's going to have to do something about the policy, whether we either have to either amend it or place it on hold for this year until next year. I don't know. We'll take that up, I think, until after the bid closes. So what do you guys think?
I agree. I mean, if there's no other bids coming in, not much we could do, but I still agree with the policy. Unfortunately, adhere to it.
We don't have to get rid of it. We can suspend it until next year and take it on a one-year basis, whatever we want to do. I mean, I'll let the board decide at that point.
Yeah, I like that direction.
Okay.
And if there are some around 10 people, I mean,
it looks hopeful.
Yeah, I mean, that's something.
Well, the problem is that they're all out of town, though, right?
No local experience.
School district experience is what we're looking for, more so than, you know, local. It's just Texas school districts, you don't see many firms that have that, especially here locally.
Yeah. All right. So I think let's just pass this until if the time comes that we'll have to either suspend the policy for this year or amend it, we will take it up after the bid closes. So let's put it up after the bid closes. If you see that it's just the one firm, we need to get a special board meeting soon after that. so that the board can decide what to do on the policy meantime. Okay?
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Next heading.
Agenda item 2B, facilities. Presenters are Ms. Matthews and Mr. Goitia. Item 1, bond project monthly report.
All right. Jennifer, do you want to give us the report from there, or do you want us to go?
Actually, every month, and this is our first month, Edgar will be presenting our monthly report, so he's going to be presenting.
Yeah, did you have a copy of Paul Hunter?
Yes, we did.
Perfect.
All right, Edgar.
I'm going to go over every single tool and project that we have. None of you can see the presentation. On the design phase, we might follow them on 100% design development phase. For Canisillo Elementary School, we have a campus fencing, ADA blacktop, resource fencing, and a drop-off office.
Edgar, can you wait a minute? Can you? I don't know if the microphone stretches out there so that it can pick you up and we can record you. I don't know if it's going to it's picking you up, but
there you go.
For the Canisillo Middle School, MMP Architects already submitted all the 100% design development phase as well. We have an asbestos and entry testing, we have a classroom upgrade, we have an entrance and office renovation, parking lot upgrades, restroom upgrades, basketball courts, and have a ceiling tile replacement. We already met with all the, five CMRs, so the bid opening will be on April 8th. The evaluation will be on April 9th, and we're going to request a special board meeting on April 10th. Canisillo High School, we are going to go over later on the construction phase, but as far as design, we are working on the baseball upgrades, a gym addition, wallboard courts. We have a locker room upgrades, outdoor eating area improvements, and subsidence at the plaza upgrades, as well as 100% site development. Bill Children's Elementary School, we have an irrigation system on the grass area, and we're not paying the whole campus. For Jose Damiano Elementary School, we're going to do a campus fencing. Same thing, we have already, the architect already submitted the 100% design development. Deanna Davenport, we have an ADA playground area that should be starting next week. Contractor will be working on Jose Damian and Deanna during the spring break. We have ADA door hardware, we're going to repaint those, exterior door hardware, the fire rated door, campus painting, soccer field upgrades, and ADA sidewalk upgrades. For Gonzalo and Sofia and Garcia, we're going to have ADA grass playground, play area, ADA playground equipment, and playground equipment. For the Northwest Early College High School, we're going to have a new canopy, a PA system, and a kitchen cafeteria multi-purpose. Same thing, it's going to be 100% design development. GA Architects already submitted. Jose Alberto Middle School, we're going to have a landscape upgrades, we have gym addition, band music, room addition, ADA compliance, gym wood floor replacement, we have a locker room renovation, new facility restroom renovation. The ones are construction, we have a Canisillo Elementary, the contractor already finished the ADA drinking fountains, we have a canopy, a brand new canopy with the concrete slab and soft tile. ADA playground area, playground equipment, playground flooring. It's 73% complete. We have some pending items on the track, and we should be done. We have some pictures here. We have a playground area on the left side. We have a shade on the right side. You'll see the track here on the back. That's the ADA sidewalk upgrades. We have two water fountains there. We replace the towel dispenser.
Can we go back for a second? Can we go back to the water fountains in Kennethy Elementary? There's concerns that, those water fountains, they get extremely hot because they're outside, and the kids really can't use them. Is there any plans for maybe a canopy over it or something? Because, it, I mean, summer months are coming.
Yeah.
So.
Well,
not at this time. I mean, that's a thing to consider.
Yeah, it's been brought up several times that those get really hot because of the sun.
We might consider putting like a shader.
Just, yeah, something
I
very minimal.
A question also. On the other picture where they took out the towel dispenser, how come nobody put any tile?
Yeah, that's one of the things that they're missing. They're missing putting the tile back. They're not going to put it back.
Yes, that's a pending item.
I think that we ought to get a price to put a little shade thing over this.
External ones, yeah.
We can do that. When they fixed the front apron of the like of the concession stand, they had like this rickety kind of shaping, which we decided was unsafe. But somebody had made an effort to do that. But we can go back and revisit this.
Thank you.
That's a good point, Mother.
That's the project summary. So we have the playground can't be 100%. The ADA sidewalk is 70, well, the whole entire project, including the track and the tile, it's 73.3% because of all those missing items. And the contractor has been paid for the 73.3%. For Hanukkah High School, Johnson Controls is working during night shifts right now. They have the lower level done, 100%. And we have the energy management project. So you'll see here some new parts that they replaced on the restrooms. That's a finished part. You won't know any difference because everything's on the inside. You have a measurement of the flow. It's 0.57. Before that, it was 1.6. The new stand is tamper-proof. We'll see here the lights are already replaced. And a lot of the teachers are pretty happy with the defense on the lights.
So they're having their weekly meetings on Wednesdays, and in addition, what we're doing is we've scheduled the guys, so some our HVAC team that's leading up that job, as well as our, and hopefully starting next week, our electrician, to mirror Johnson Controls hours. Not that they're there the whole time, but that way if they have any issues, they're there, and then they kind of base out of there to do their other work orders, and so that they're familiar with the job, and if and when Johnson Controls moves on to their phase two, we're going to be splitting the projects, the campuses up between our two HVAC guys so that you have the, so that they're getting more familiar with the work as they build it.
They are installing some LED lights on the upper. Before that, we didn't have any lighting at all, so you'll see here the before and after pictures. And that's a summary for the Hanson View High School. It's been 20% complete as far as Johnson Controls, and that's how much I'll be in contact with it.
So we just want to say, as far as you know, right now the boards are in design, but all the architects, of course, Robin is kind of a different ballgame. But they have turned in their 100% design development, like right on time. All their plans have been given to the SCORE program. The SCORE program, we did with them on our other electro lighting retrofits, and we usually get a check from them. So they're doing a pre-plan review, and a lot of the architects have done that through SCORE with other, with other school districts. And we had our pre-solicitation meeting for the phase two of the CMR. Our shortlisted CMRs were there. We had like a really good conversation. It was a really good meeting. We're still on track with the April date. With that special board meeting, if you guys could help us out, it would really be appreciated. It's kind of a tight timeline, but yeah, it's still looking good for us to break ground in July. So we're still tracking, so it's good.
All right, any questions, Adrian?
You were considering the 10th for the board meeting?
Either the 9th or the 10th in the evening. All of our evaluation committees are meeting on the 9th, and those consist of the architect, Edgar, myself, and a couple of people. Depending on the bid package, there's one for each individual bid package, so we'll be recommending on each one. Whether that's if it's like Northwest Early College campus, if that's Aida and Miss Savina, or if it's Coach Brooks and another one, or depending on who the vested parties are. So.
Lori?
How long do you think the meeting will take?
What do you mean?
The special board meeting.
Well, I mean, it really depends. You know, we'll have four recommendations, one for each of the packages, and then it's up to you guys if you go to one to four contractors, or if you want to, you know, talk to them, or if you just want to review the fee proposals. It's also for us to you tell us. I mean, we'll have all their fee proposals, and we'll have our recommendation if you want the five of them there that night, or, you know, whatever you guys want to do.
Like if we have everyone there.
We've already reviewed their qualifications of all those, which was a good thing. So we don't, now we're, I guess we're developing,
Now it's just the people.
It's just we're running up on some conference.
And will we have this, the information available before the meeting?
Is that Thursday?
So that we have a little bit of time, even if it's a day before?
Yeah, sure. I mean, they're due the 8th.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that on the 8th, Ron could get you a copy of it, and then our meetings convene.
That would, yeah.
There's 3 in the morning and then 1 at 3 o'clock, so by 4 p.m. we should have all the recommendations, and then, I mean...
Because we're leaving on the
11th.
11th?
The
11th. 11th at noon.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sooner the better.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. We want to help you here.
Yeah. So did you all want to have the five of them there, just the fee proposals on the 8th, or what would you all like to do?
Fee proposals are fine with me.
Yeah, I think we've already met with all the...
Yeah.
We've met there.
And if you would give us, you know, as much lead time as you can with any forthcoming information.
Okay.
If you could also give us kind of a review of what we've already gone through in terms of reviewing them and ranking them and all that fun stuff.
Okay. That would be very nice.
Yeah, because it's been a while. It's been a while since we went over
there. Yeah,
that's
okay. I forget.
It's there. I know.
Yeah, I know.
It's somewhere there.
Yeah, the rankings.
I understand.
The rankings are in there.
Yeah, I think we came up with a final ranking, but there was no published document. So if we could get the published document from, I think Ron had it last.
Right.
From the peanut gallery.
All right.
That's all.
Okay, anybody else? No? Okay, that takes us to the next agenda item.
We received a request from the electric company for Panteo Elementary School on Plan North, on the northeast corner. The easiest one to follow is the very, very last page, the aerial photograph. I don't see a problem with it.
Can you explain where it is?
Between the high school and the
No, it's at Panteo Elementary School. If you look on this drawing in this small corner,
I don't have.
Oh, you have a different one.
This one?
Yeah, we're looking at the Rubik Agua. We're looking at
the board. We don't have that.
It's in the top.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, it is.
Page 16.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, it is.
La Mesa.
Is this where they came and wanted to put up the little house for a couple of months?
I don't go that far back. I wouldn't be able to answer that. I think I know.
Annette? Remember they came, the electric company came to us and asked, kind of over behind the elementary school.
Yes.
No, that's PSB.
No. Electric company, if they could put a little building up.
Yeah, they wanted a temporary,
just a temporary
solution
building
to provide service to this area over here until they got the permanent, right?
Uh-huh. And is that what it is? Can you?
Well, this is just for the easement itself.
Just a feed. It's just a feed.
But is it in that same place? And is where the place is that you're talking about on 7th Street?
It's right there, 7th and La Mesa.
It's on La Mesa.
On 7th and La Mesa.
I believe the other issue they were actually wanting to rent it or lease it from the first
property. Yeah.
Right.
But is it the same piece of property,
no,
Ron?
No.
Thank you, Ron.
Okay, remember that.
Can you explain to me what we're looking at in the picture? Those white buildings, that's the elementary school?
Yeah, basically they just want an easement that cuts diagonally here. If you look in their other drawing, you can see where their underground power line runs. The one that looks like it's a boundary survey.
Yes.
This one right here. So they just want this easement.
Is that an existing
it's
power?
It's an existing power line here.
You see?
I do. Yeah, yeah, the only problem I have with it is that we have been asking them, I believe, Gustavo, to work with us on laying underground line down our craft instead of putting those big transmission lines up and taking away the park from the people in the neighborhood.
River Park West.
They're taking away the entire park. And it would sure be nice if they would work with us on, which, you know, lowers our property values. We have a direct, you know, tie to that. We want our citizens' property values to stay high. They're going to lower our property values through putting up big transmission lines through the valley and yet want to give us to give up our land for perpetuity.
What do you want me to do?
Go back and talk to
them? Yeah, maybe I'll talk to somebody in their government relations department, because I know they have, and I know the lady from their government relations
that
department.
Would be really nice. So, you know, you scratch my back, we'll scratch your...
Yeah, I can do that.
What was the end result of that? Gustavo?
It's still standing up. They had asked us
going back to planning, right?
To approve the easement of the park.
Mm-hmm.
The City Planning Commission asked us to go back and rethink the project, mm-hmm. and it has to return to City Planning Commission again. Okay.
So maybe if you could, you know, encourage them with this good news.
It's a good way to put it, Lori.
Yeah, that should be. That, and come back to us, would that be acceptable, Mr. Chair?
I like that.
What this particular line?
What's it going to feed?
It's for the, but it's for the, it's for the areas there, including the home addition, right?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, most likely. I mean, they're expanding their substation.
Well, the other issue I see is if it's they need an expansion and it's overloading, we're really, by delaying it, we could be causing a service interruption for the people in the area without this. Is that right? I mean, what happens when they overload, don't they?
Well, I'm sure the electric company.
Yeah. That's what happens when my lights go out for a few hours, right?
He still charges.
Maybe they're doing that intentionally so
they know where you live.
Huh?
Brown out.
Yeah, but I live beside you, so I'm
not. Yeah. Your doesn't see. They seem to be on a different one than yours, and I'm right across the street.
Be quiet. Strike that from the record.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with the easement. I just think that.
I think we ought to recommend it to the board, but we also ought to ask about that other deal.
Yeah, until next month. You know, have it for not this March meeting, but the April meeting to come.
It's not an emergency they need.
It's not an emergency. I'm sure they delay it for 1 month.
All right.
I think that's a good idea.
We'll recommend it to the board to the following.
Uh-huh.
How's that?
Board meeting.
And see if they can.
Y'all okay with that?
Yes.
All right.
Yes,
sir. All right, Jennifer.
Okay.
Just for clarification, if I may. So, Jennifer, you're going to contact the El Paso Electric, the governmental liaison person, and you are going to approach. And what we can do, if you need, we could, before you have that meeting, if you would come to me, we could put it in writing what we're asking for.
Yeah.
And then it's formalized, Ms. Searles. How's that?
I think it sounds wonderful.
Okay. All right.
In fact, I think Mr. Blanco was supposed to write us a letter on it, that the board had asked him to write a letter anyhow.
Yeah, and I think we were stalled because of it already had gone to
Planning Commission.
Yes,
exactly. So,
right.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. Next item.
Item 2, CBAC, discussion and possible recommendation.
No, extension of Yusilla and Rocoa?
Yeah.
No, we're on 2.
We're on 2.
Yeah, because we went from 1 to 4.
Yeah, we jumped over.
We jumped.
CBAC, discussion and possible recommendation.
Mr. Rivales.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I come on behalf of the CBAC to give you an update on what happened at our last quarterly meeting. The first order of business was to select a new chair, and the committee selected Pastor Gabriel Solis as its new chair, and I come on his behalf. He apologizes he couldn't make it today. He had a previous engagement that he needed to attend to. So he asked me to give a report, and I agreed to do that. During the meeting, after his election, the committee discussed new membership. They had seen their numbers go down somewhat. So at their previous meeting in before the holidays, they talked about opening up the membership again, and they have done that. And they have agreed to redouble their efforts to recruit members to the committee. And we have had on our district website and using our efforts, sent out press releases and notices asking for people interested in serving in the CBAC to notify us. We saw a slow reaction to those notices. And so the committee was charged with trying to recruit people. We have seen new people now start applying for that. So that has worked. We have set a Friday, March 15th deadline for submissions for consideration. And the committee hopes to bring to the board names for consideration by the end of the month for your approval for membership to the CBAC. The committee also reorganized into 2 subcommittees. There used to be 3, and now there's 2. There was a discussion on whether or not there was a necessity for 3, and so they decided to combine the construction and the projects subcommittees into 1, and leave the finance committee as a standing committee there. So they have those 2 committees, and they established membership, and further membership will be. Discussed once new membership to the CBAC is approved by the Board of Trustees. The CBAC members also asked for a monthly report on bond projects from the staff, which Ms. Matthew agreed to provide, so that she will provide to the CBAC the monthly report that this committee receives once this committee receives it. So as soon as
you guys get
review finished. It, she will distribute it to the CBAC as well. They also agreed to have a. They also asked this committee to have a standing item every month, with which they can discuss with you issues relating to the CBAC. That issue was discussed with Mr. Rodriguez. He saw no problem with that issue, and it's of course up to Mr. Coronado, the chair of this committee, to put that on the agenda.
We can have that's not a problem. We'll add it every committee meeting that we have on that.
I will notify Mr. Solis. CBAC is also requesting a roundtable discussion with the full board, before moving forward with the JCI scope of work for phase 2. They would like to discuss those issues with the board once you guys are ready to discuss that and before voting on it.
Well, that's probably going to be discussed tonight.
In fact, we invited CBAC to come tonight, this evening, because I told them
we have some members.
These are the great meetings to come to.
Yep.
Yeah.
Look at all the people that come out for this, hear it straight from them. If you want to know exactly what's going on, this is the evening to be here. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
And we do have several CBAC members in attendance with us today.
Yeah.
Okay.
On top of that, Pastor Solis emailed me yesterday with 2 other issues that he wanted me to discuss with you or communicate to you. The first one is the issue of insulating buildings. And I'll just read from his email. He says, what is going to be done about the insulation issue in the buildings that are supposedly programmed to receive the refrigeration units. Without the insulation, we will be losing our heating and cooling, thus creating expensive energy costs.
And so Johnson Controls is coming to talk about that this evening. Some of those other things that are listed on the bond, like the windows, the building insulation, and all that. So they have prepared a response, so.
Great.
Great. The second one was funding. He writes that according to the figures that he has, there's about $5 million in cost for building two gyms and two schools. Mr. Solis and Mr. Cardenas, who met yesterday, have expressed that somehow we should let the board know that the heating and cooling issue is a more pressing issue than building additions, and they wanted me to express that to you as well.
Okay.
Mr. Cardenas, that's the full report from CBAN.
All right. And we'll be discussing these items actually at the round with the CMRs and the architects. But part of the issues and we know there's some of these issues are really important, and yes, the HVAC and the heating and cooling is really an important part of our bond projects. But when it comes to doing away with the project like the gym, can't do that because that's actually part of the commitment to the community that we made when the bond was passed. So, I mean, we're trying to do the best we can. Obviously, the HVAC is of one of the primary importance in there. And so I think there's a way that we can probably move forward with all the projects. And even though there's a shortfall in several of the projects, we've recently come into, Martha has advised us, we're getting about a probably $3 million recapture of tax effort on the INS towards the bond projects. So not only that, I think with respect to even the if we have any recapture this year on the M&O, and that's one thing that I wanted. Is Martha here still? Martha, when do you think that we might be able to get a report from you on this year's M&O recapture and what the timeline is or the deadline you've given the campuses and the departments?
Yes, the preliminary and the first deadline we have is March 30th, so it's around the corner. Mm-hmm. So we will be able to give you, for the April meeting, I will be able to give you a rough estimate. In addition to that, April 30th is another deadline I have on other subobjects. And so definitely by May 15th, I can give you the full amount on recapture.
Okay.
So we just wanted to say that consistent with what we presented last month, our owner's project budgets that we estimated together with VMAP for all the work being done district-wide projects with the three architects here tonight, we were short that 2.5 to 2.7, which is what Martha has covered. So all those building additions, all of that, we've mm-hmm. got that all mm-hmm. covered for. So
right.
We're good there. And in regards to the installation, that's just the thing we're here to talk about, Johnson Controls. So I just wanted to,
right.
just to remind everybody that we got it. I mean, mm-hmm.
Well, but the other part of it is that we actually, those, the PK through 8, though, the board also voted, and it's I think it's over like $2 million over. Mm-hmm. The budget on the PK through 8 school, if you remember that. Mm-hmm. And additionally, we've got a shortfall on the district-wide HVAC. That wasn't included in those district-wide projects, right?
Yeah,
no, that was...
No, not in the owner's project budget that we provided. So
that was not in the owner's project budget. No. That's a separate amount.
Exactly.
So we'll have to
right.
discuss those issues and how we're going to try and tackle them.
I hate to be at the barrage of bad news, but we did get denied under E-rate for the new school. We are appealing it.
Yeah. Did you apply district-wide or just for that?
We did both.
And both of them got?
Well, but what we needed to do is we needed to put in the cabling and infrastructure for the new school, which is when you can do that with the E-rate. And they're projecting that area is not going to be Title I. So what we're doing is telling them, well, what one of the things that I'm going to put in the appeal is that we are going to use a GIS mapping program, and you know, we're not certain about the exact boundary lines, and so I don't know. I mean, but what we're going to do is, because it came back at 77%, I believe, and for Title I, believe it or not, 78. So we're going to see if I can, we can come up with something, but we are going to do an appeal. Okay, so I will keep you informed, because that price tag would be about $600,000.
On top for the cable, the infrastructure.
For
the
just for the infrastructure.
Just for the infrastructure.
Yes, because we're going to use that money for the computers.
And I guess the concern, going back to CBAC's concern, it really wasn't to stop building, or was it to stop building? I think they just wanted us to focus on the insulation, in regards to the insulation, installation of refrigerated, but not to actually stop. Was that really what? Because I left after, you know.
Maybe Johnson Controls, maybe during their presentation and at the round table, we can, like, do a poll.
Okay.
Mr. Medina, that's not a conversation that happened at CBAC. It happened yesterday between Pastor Solis and.
Mr. Chair, just earlier, I got on a call when I was out of town, and the concern was, the communication between. The district and CBAC, and so one of the things that I was okay with, and thanks to you because it is your committee, I would recommend that we do put an item on the agenda when it comes to CBAC discussion on the end, because there might be some stuff that's already being done that was discussed but needs to be communicated. And so what I would like to see, if either the chair is not here, I would like to see the vice chair, because I think, you know, it's critical to hear from those individuals to be present at this meeting. At the same time, we might look at whether one of you all, if not one person, could be a liaison at the CBAC committee meeting, mm-hmm. so that way there could be a mm-hmm. constant communication yes. and correction of miscommunication. Looking at that, I think what we need to do is put that on the facilities and put that towards the end to see if we have discussed those. But I would request that, I don't know if they picked a vice chair. Did they just pick a chair? Or?
They have a vice chair, and he could not be here either.
Okay.
And the discussion also was that they would have an appointed, I think initially they wanted either the chair or the vice chair to speak on their behalf. But now, because it's a smaller group,
they
wanted to have whoever they appointed, and they would indicate that through Mr. Velez.
Okay, and I heard that. The reason being is we discussed that either the chair or the vice chair mm-hmm. come in, mm-hmm. and we'll have that standing item, but we need to have that communication on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
Thank you, Mr. Rodriguez. All right. Anybody else on item two? Lori? Adrian? Alright. Alright. Let's go to the next agenda item.
Agenda item 2B, item 3, community outreach update.
That's me?
Yeah. You got the wrong agenda there?
Yeah. this is
interesting. Happy to communicate to the committee that we're moving forward at a quick pace with our new website, which mm-hmm. will include a bond-specific section. Jerry Melchor, our new webmaster, mm-hmm. is quickly going through meetings with the different departments, including Ms. Matthews. I attended that meeting with Ms. Matthews as well to discuss exactly what we're going to do, what information we need to really have a vibrant bond website. So we're moving forward with that. He's finalizing some of the content issues that need to be finalized. So we should have something, pretty soon, I believe by June.
Oh, no, we'll have it before then. We're going through the training, if I may.
Go ahead.
If we're going to have training right when we come back from spring break on that content management system. And I had to do a budget amendment, but it was done, to get him some software that he needed. So he's got his office, he's now has furniture, I guess it is progressing. He has met with everyone. Gustavo will be, and Jennifer will be meeting with him. And once he gets, they're going to have a pretty robust site. But that's one of the links that we want to make sure that we feature on the website, and that is changed constantly. And with this new management system, I do believe that that's good. You'll be very pleased with it, so that we can have it changed almost, I'm saying, even before a monthly cycle, like a three-week cycle, so that it could be refreshed.
That site will house all agenda items from this committee, mm-hmm. CBAC yes. agenda items, minutes, presentations, mm-hmm. and PowerPoint presentations that we may make. So
and,
it will be
and
very
take
robust.
A list to photos. It's going to be...
Socorro's bond section, because mm-hmm. they have a bond site themselves. Theirs is probably one of the most robust. Are you mirroring after what they currently have?
I haven't seen it, but I would recommend that Jerry does.
Jerry did look at that. He did
because they do have exactly what you're talking
about. No, I didn't look at it, and I had told him all that stuff. So, but so I will look at it tomorrow, Mr. Medina, and I will make sure he does, because we were talking about that just yesterday on what I wanted, because I did want it to be dynamic, and he knows that because it is such a community issue, and sitting on the CBAC, I heard the information that they needed. I like it that we're going to link this committee also with it. So, and Ms. Searles, when we get that up and running, we'll even present it to this committee first.
You'll probably be right online.
Well, you'll love it, and I know you'll be the biggest. You'll be the biggest cheerleader for it. Yeah.
It'll be easy to use. You'll be impressed.
She'll be impressed.
It's hilarious how people will call me about that. Yeah, sure. Great.
No, I saw that on the website.
we also it's actually out printing right now. We should have it by the end of the week. The new Envisions newsletter.
Oh, that's nice.
It will have some information about the bond. You may remember our previous issue was all of it was dedicated to the bond. This we went back to a lot of student news, because we figured that we needed to do that as well. But it does contain bond news and information in there as well.
Are you going to be eventually porting that stuff over to online only, or are you going to continue to print out?
As it stands right now, we're still printing out. I did bring forward that idea previously, and was told to continue to think of Envisions as a printed mm-hmm. outlet.
Okay.
All right. Anything else?
No, that's it.
Lori? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Thank you, Gustavo. Next agenda item.
Agenda item 2B, item 5, extension of Estela Rubalcaba and CISD private floor line.
This is it.
The El Paso Water Utilities is gearing up to put in some infrastructure ahead of the extension of the Estela Rubalcaba. If you guys look at the diagram, mm-hmm. We actually have a private sewer line that extends pretty far beyond what I even realized was our property. If you look at it, it's the bottom yellow line. Mm-hmm. And so anyways, when they come in and put the street, the line is going to end up underneath the street.
Which way is north on this?
The right-hand side. Like here's I-10.
I-10's up here?
I-10's up here.
Okay.
This is the corner of the parking lot of the high school.
Then that's east is I-10?
Yeah, when you're going down between the high school and the community college, this would be the road that dead ends. So this corner right here, this is the high school parking lot.
Can you
see it? Hey, this is the high school parking lot. To the side of the field.
west of the football field. And
so this is the high school parking lot?
The field houses.
So,
here.
So here's the high school, and then
see, these are the entrances. These are the entrances.
This is
the. These are the entrances. No, this is the.
The and then this is the sewer line right here.
That's the.
This one right here.
The okay. Practice football.
So what they're going to do is this
got
is
it?
Their
yeah.
new line.
Okay.
Right here. Mm-hmm. And so what they're going to do is they're just going to cut it short. They're going to we're going to abandon the sewer line, mm-hmm. and we're just going to connect right there.
That does make sense.
Yeah. So they just wanted us to say okay in writing before they're just going to abandon it in place, and we'll have less of a line, which is just fine with me.
Was there any reason we did it like that to begin with?
There probably wasn't enough infrastructure out there right now, but now they're putting in like a main line.
Because, I mean, that goes like a long way. Do you
yeah,
remember why
had,
you make that?
Like, they don't even
we had to because there was
none
on the extension from the other side. The frontage wasn't available. We did kind of like what we did, the water over at Gonzalo.
Right, at that time, we had to pay to run our private line that far in order to connect to the sewer system, which we no longer
okay.
have to do. So, is that okay? Can I send them a letter to say it?
I think we recommend it to the board. You need it quicker?
I don't think this is, I didn't think I put this on the board agenda. Do I need to put this on the board agenda?
We have the board agenda. Let's say you can still put it on there. Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or was it March 25th?
25th?
26th.
26th,
sorry.
6th. Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right. Next item.
Agenda item 2B, item 6, Johnson Controls to include presentation of scope of work for each campus, status and timeline of phase 2 of JCI's contract. Item C, PSC, fee proposal for phase 2, UAR, ESPC, third party review.
So I'm going to invite all Johnson Controls to come up and present to you all, but before I do that, if we could just skip to item C, which is the only one that I'm really presenting. And basically, item C is the same thing that we approved for the Canutillo High School project. It's the required third-party review. It's to the same company, Parkhill Smith & Cooper, which is going to the board, and it's for $27,000, and that's for the entire, you know, so that we could put it in place. And if you were to put this at this... you know, at this agenda meeting, there's an item there just before Johnson Controls contract so that you could award these at the same time. Or there would be a clause on this one that says pending the approval of their contract, just so that we would be ready for them.
Right. Okay.
So just to let you know that we're doing that like similar to what we did. And with that, I'll let the entire Johnson Controls arm introduce themselves.
Sure. Gentlemen.
Are you going to stay here? We're moving over here. What's...
It's up to you. You know what? Right after this is.
Yeah, run to the left.
Yeah, I mean, we might as well go down there. Let's go ahead, guys. Yeah, let's do that. Let's adjourn down there because right after that we'll go into. Yeah, we can
okay.
take that from down there, and then that way
okay.
we don't have to.
Hi, Lori.
Just for him.
I was just going to grab one.
Let's take a short 2 minute break. Set up around there.
Ready, Adrian?
So, I just wanted to preface the Johnson Controls presentation by saying there's like a couple of things that we were going to talk about.
One was the scope of work, and then the other thing is, like, after we get the scope of work, how that aligns with the summer and what their work plans are and those kinds of things. So, but with their scope of work, it's because, as you know, I took all the documents that have been published on the website and all those kinds of things, and we translated the that into this report that we've been giving to you, which is our total bond commitments, right, 150 of them. So Johnson Controls, their total contribution, which is about, that if you add up all the ones in blue, it's about $10.5 million. Okay, all the ones that were, like, designated to them are assigned in blue. So when we were looking through their scope of work, like, for example, it's like some of them mentioned, like, at BCE, the insulation of the walls and ceilings, or windows, window upgrades. What do window upgrades mean? Or the refrigerated air, or, you know, so that you could compare, so that Johnson Controls could compare, so that you guys could see from our report what are our bond commitments that everyone, straight from the language of the bond, and you could compare to their scope of work so that you could, you know, so that you can make that comparison and, you know, you could, you know, you could decide, you know, what it would include. So.
Okay.
All right.
Mr. Chair, board members, staff, thank you again. We're going to do this by committee because we're here by committee as well. So any questions, please stop us. We're going to go through this, you know, kind of in a workshop setting, if you can use it that way, and make sure everybody's understanding what we're here to do, what we're here to accomplish today, tonight, and hopefully answer all the questions that are that come available. So. And do me a big, great favor, if you would, please. Go to the last page. And the reason I'm going to ask you to do that is...
And
absolutely.
And for the record, that's Mr. Lopez. It's on.
Thank you, sir. Right. Last page is our implementation. This one, that's what we've been working very diligently with Jennifer and her staff, Edgar, to get to the point that we're at right now. We're going to drill down to what the bond, and we're going to specifically talk about what was in the bond, what we're going to be bringing back pursuant to a UAR full-fledged contract. Back to you hopefully next week when the board reconvenes. So I just want to show you that's our goal, to get back to that last page, and then we'll proceed. Again, phase two is a project that was brought to us. A lot of conversation around it. We're implementing phase one right now. Have a great project there. Edgar's been engaged with our project managers there. We got LED lighting going in. We're going to take care of the controls there. And that's ongoing, and looks like we might finish that a little bit sooner than we had estimated. So we can talk about that at the end, because we're going to be discussing LEED as well, because that was something that was brought up that we put into this package as well. So project benefits, again, create more comfort for classroom settings. Heard that earlier from insulation and so forth. We have a study that defends our positions and everything that was brought up earlier, so we'll be happy to address all those things. Provide funding shortfall for the bond. We understand it's a shortfall. So that being said, as we drill down through this for the benefits of what's going to be presented today to the future and what the outcome is going to be, I think there's a nice package that you'll be able to evaluate. So, deliver high efficiency equipment. In your initial bond, it was put in equipment, setting it up, no controls. So we took all that into consideration. And again, we're using those terms kind of loosely because we've done higher efficiency equipment. We're looking at controls. We're looking at water upgrades for efficiencies as well. And again, that's what performance contract is about. Again, performance contract is that we're going to guarantee the savings to the district. And we're going to get to that. I'm deviating from this. But we're going to guarantee the savings to the district contractually. So whatever we say we're going to save based on energy is going to be a commitment from us. Any shortfalls we make up based on the contract. That's part of the UAR that's going to be evaluated. Part of the energy management systems there, spoke about LEED, Energy Star. We're going to rank all your schools, Energy Star, the two schools that you will be talking about as far as LEED, or the high school and Garcia Elementary, which right now, and Ken's going to speak to that later, but right now are very, very, you know, they're up there as far as pre-qualified points to be able to manage that at a very minimal cost. Sure. Again, leads easier to attain after something's already been benchmarked. So, and then what we do is Johnson Controls through an ESCO contract. We do a turnkey It's complete turnkey. We take the responsibility. We own the contract. We own the guarantee. And our commitment is to fulfill that back to the district. I'm going to let Mike speak to this next slide because this is his slide. And it really resonates to why we're here right now.
Basically, if you go back to the original intent, you know, the bond, and that's kind of where we focused our original, in the original meetings with staff, was what was the original intent of the bond, and that was to deliver, you know, refrigerated air to the campuses and replace the existing evaporated units. There are two approaches that can be done there. One is to do a very low efficiency SEER 13 type piece of equipment, which in this process, the district's M&O budget is going to be impacted. There is going to be, when you go from evaporative cooling to DX cooling, obviously the amount that you're going to be spending on energy will increase. And so what we did was we took for all the units, and you'll see the counts here as we go through this as we get into the scope, we calculated what the impact on the district's M&O budget would be installing low efficiency equipment. And when you look at that SEER 13 equipment, we're talking about a $238,000 increase to the district's M&O budget that would result from taking out the evaporative cooling and putting in the SEER 13 units. By doing the things that we're talking about, what we're able to do by putting in the SEER 15 higher efficiency equipment, by putting in the controls, which generates a tremendous amount of savings, by putting in the water upgrades that we're doing, you know, we're able to generate $144,810 worth of savings. And so we're actually going to, as opposed to the district having to spend in M&O dollars going forward, $238,000, we're going to decrease that amount by that $145,000 rounded off. And so that is the savings that is going to be delivered to the district through the higher efficiency equipment and the measures that are being provided to you. As Joel said, the other part about that is not only do we calculate that savings, we guarantee that you receive that savings. And by that, what I mean is if through the measurement verification, if the savings aren't realized in real dollars, then Johnson Controls, for the contract, terms of the contract that will be executed, is obligated to make up that shortfall. And so by doing that, the district's risk is minimized. On, you know, we take risk off the table because, you know, we guarantee that you'll see those savings. The other part about that, in meeting that savings calculation, it also means that we have to guarantee the performance. We have to make sure that equipment is performing the way it should be when it goes in. So not only are we going to guarantee savings, we're also going to guarantee performance. And so that's what that slide is showing you, is that, you know, the impact that we're going to have on the future M&O operating budget of the district going forward. Is there any questions on that?
So the difference is really from 237, or let's say 238, down to 144. Is that correct?
Yeah, the savings is 144. I see that number there. So we're basically going to cut that down to basically about $100,000 increase.
Versus the
238. Yes.
238 down to 144.
Correct.
Okay.
And that's part of the guarantee. That's part of the contract. Okay. That we're able to fund a little bit more. So that's what performance contracting is. And then, so that being said, so for year one, that's the number that Mike just spoke about, $144,810 over the project term. It's 15 years. Total savings that you're going to realize over the term is $2,691,000. Non-measured savings, we looked at $11,730. Non-measured savings is you are currently replacing stuff, and I'm talking evaporative coolers that you were doing on an annual basis. We took just a smidgen of what's already being spent currently by your district. As to, you're not going to be having to do that anymore. So that's what we call operational savings, which helps cash flow this particular project. And that's allowable by the legislation. So
The 238, and I hate to go back to it. The 238 is the cost of what we would be spending had we gone with our original bond program, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so 238 is our expenditure on energy, correct?
Right. Correct. That would be the increase in energy spend.
Increase in energy spend.
That would be the increase, yes, sir, to them.
Okay. So with the solution that you're providing, it's 144 that would be spent.
Well, we're saving $144,000 off that 238. So you're bringing the increase from 237 less the 144,810 So you're basically bringing you're down below 100,000.
Okay.
Because again, you're going from EVAP coolers to DX units, which is rooftop units that are being replaced, which again, there's upgrades that have to take place, and it's just not something you plug into the wall and turn it on. I mean, there's things that have to happen for that. So, and again, that's part of the guarantee that we're talking about.
I have a question.
Yes.
When you're talking about those units, are they refrigerated units?
Yes. Yeah, they're 13 refrigerated units.
And this is district-wide?
Yes, sir. All
let me reword it. Refrigerated units on the campuses that were on the bond
to receive
the refrigerated air.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
But this does not include the installations.
We're going to get to that.
Yeah, okay. We'll walk through that exactly. We have a chart in here that you'll see here in just a minute that really lays out what was in the bond and what we're proposing to do, and it lays it in a chart so you can see it side by side. So hopefully we'll show it very clearly here in just a moment.
All right, Mike, just a second. Lori, you have
just
a question.
Just for clarification, are we getting the 13 or the 15?
15 series.
That's what we're getting is the 15.
We also looked at going to 17 series units.
Okay.
But there is a higher efficiency unit. There's a 17 series unit. The issue becomes, you know, the cost increment from going from 15 to 17.
Okay, is but so, what we're getting is the 15.
And so this provides the best cost savings relationship. Because we did look at 17.
Yep. We're getting 15.
But you're getting 15. Okay. That is what's in the scope. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you.
Right. And that does conform to the discussion.
Yes. I mean, it's 13 is the energy efficiency code. That's the minimum requirements you have to put in. We're going to the next level higher, which will help you towards not only energy savings, but LEED certification, Energy Star labels, things such as that, awards for being more aggressive than normal in energy efficiency. So these units will help you do that, along with the controls package that we're putting in.
Yeah, I saw the controls package.
And then the last item on the following page, getting back to the project financial model, the total non-guaranteed savings through the evaporative water savings. We're not able to claim that as far as savings. That's a savings the district's going to realize. You're going to realize $30,513 annually because you're using that now with your evaporative coolers. You're not going to be using that anymore. So that's going to go back to your M&O budget or wherever that's going to be delegated to. But
apart from the wear and tear on the roofs.
Yeah.
Over the project term, you're talking $568,000 approximately of savings throughout the term of the contract.
And just to clarify that real quickly, you know, the reason we're not able to claim that is because the bond package that you had was already to replace two DX units and take out the evaporative coolant. And so our contractually, legally, we didn't see that we could claim that because y'all had already had.
We were going to do that anyway.
You were going to do that anyway.
So the only thing we could claim was from SEER 13 to SEER 15.
Yeah. So while y'all will realize those savings, obviously we can't claim those in our contract because of what y'all were already claiming. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. So we're going to go right to the meat of this, and again, I'm sure that's why we're all here. The bond overview. And Jennifer, if you would, I'm going to let you, if you would, please help us here and share with us or share with the committee what was in the bond and then what we're going to be doing, and then we're going to take it, we're going to do the notes below.
Okay, yeah, sure. So they split it up into, let's see, you can see in the headings at the top, HVAC, controls, water, and envelope. So for example, just to bring you to some of them, like under HVAC, the first, in the middle, it says bond provided structural upgrades. You can see that's at the very bottom, it says note 4. You can see they didn't check anything under there. Anytime that you put a new package unit on the roof, you have to reinforce the deck, all those kinds of things, make sure it's oriented in the right way. There's welding involved and all kinds of structural upgrades. And so the original bond didn't account for that. So Johnson Controls project, you can see on the right-hand side, includes structural upgrades on all of these campuses so that you can see a little bit about some of the justifications. Electrical upgrades on note 5. However, we did have at CES, the bond did provide for electrical upgrades.
I thought it was ductwork.
If you look, CES, electrical power upgrades, they did provide that.
Yeah.
Is that campus-wide, or was that for?
It's campus-wide. So,
yeah, Doug, can you?
They did.
For electrical?
Yeah, for electrical.
But was it the building, or was it for?
No, it was just campus-wide.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair.
It's all right. Yeah, right. But was there were upgrades for the HVAC or upgrades for separate?
They were ones that it just said electrical upgrades campus wide. It's just like for that campus.
Is that the $250,000?
CES.
Mr. Chair, my recollection of that was there had to be at some campuses they provided, and they had done some of the work. There was there was set aside from the bond, but it was, remember the work that they did about. But they had done that work out of the early bird projects. And there was still some work that needed to be done, but it included the provided picture.
That was for technology. I think there was the increase, like they did at CMS, because there wasn't
the voltage.
Right. There wasn't enough. There
so,
was
yeah.
For
well,
the computer.
No, that electrical issues. Power upgrade, wasn't that for the field?
Well, that look, see, separate. That's one of the things with the bond. It just says electrical upgrades. So, but it, part of the dollar amounts that were included in the 10.5 towards Johnson mm-hmm. Controls, there was two there. So, but the point of this column is really that, like, if you look now going through these, I think that CMS and CES included some monies towards electrical upgrades. But what Johnson Controls wanted to demonstrate was that, with the exception of those two, every single other campus did not budget for electrical upgrades, and they're providing them. And so, you know, that's kind of like, you know.
That was a savings, though, that we realized because the electric company decided to drop electrical for us and light those poles for us. That was the $250 that was put there. I don't think it was specific to Johnson Controls. This was early on in the, and I remember it when CBAC and the bond early bird projects came up. No. The electric company actually stepped up, and that's why there's a remaining amount of $240,000, mm-hmm. because we stopped and we said the electric company is going to take care of it. They're going to energize those poles first. We don't have to worry about that.
So what we did was any time we saw in the bond a line item that just said electrical,
mm-hmm.
which was only happened in two occasions, and it was like unassigned or available,
mm-hmm.
we designated that as one of the line items that Johnson Controls could use. Mm-hmm. Because we knew that they were going to need electric.
Of course. Right.
So, and that only happened in two places, at CMS and at CES.
Yeah, and just to be clear, it was meant for the field.
Since those yeah, it wasn't meant for. Weren't used, correct. We saw, hey, electrical. Hey, guess who needs money for electrical? Johnson mm-hmm. Controls.
Yeah. Because we have to do.
Right.
Oh, and that's fine. It's just I wanted it clear that we did do that. For.
The bond never provided detail. Electrical per se for
that's
the
right.
HVAC.
You're right.
Period. Zero. These monies we got because right. it just happened to be designated for the campus and
that's
they were
right.
mm-hmm. left over to use.
Luckily, the luckily company. Okay. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So the next one under line six, the same point, they're providing controls at all of these campuses. And but here's like another one of the judgment calls. Like, for example, there is no commitment for controls at, so these are some of the judgment calls that the board would make. Garcia Elementary School, we have no bond commitments there. But they're providing controls, which in the long-term perspective of things is a good idea. But those are just some of the things you might want to consider. That's an added benefit to the district, which is not a bond commitment, but which would we be wise to do at this time, you know? So those are just some things to consider.
At Garcia?
You're talking about?
Right.
I'm missing it on the little chart.
Yeah, with the water?
On controls?
Controls.
District-wide energy management. Yeah. The heading is district-wide energy management, but that's the control.
Right.
And every one of those blocks is checked off
okay.
because that's doing it district-wide. Again, going beyond the bond to be able to provide, those controls are exactly what we need
right.
to help yeah. solidify this particular project.
What's the point of having those systems if we can't control them correctly?
Right, exactly.
And you would upgrade the electrical so that the controls will work.
Controls
in.
And well, all in.
Okay.
The electrical upgrade.
At Garcia, though.
Well, Garcia, we're just doing that, yeah. But again, when we talk about the electrical upgrades that we're talking about, we're having to run entire new trunks mm-hmm. to run
mm-hmm.
new panels and address transformers and all those
HVAC.
Issues to be able to provide sufficient power to be able to run mm-hmm. those units.
You can't
and so
use the regular.
When we say electrical upgrades, I mean it's a substantial part of the project to be able to deliver the electrical needs.
You didn't think about that.
What water conservation at Garcia?
What we're doing, we've actually got a scope in here that will show exactly what we're doing on water conservation. And so in three slides, I'll show
you. How many urinals, how many toilets, or whatever. Which was, yes, it was no, right?
Yes.
So that takes us through the water. So before I go on to the envelope, So you can see there from the structural upgrade, the electrical, the controls, the water conservation, these are all added benefits that Johnson Controls is giving that are not included in your bond. So if we skip over to the first section, you can see the ones where it says DX refrigerated provided by the bond. It shows you which campuses, and then it shows you which campuses that they're providing refrigerated air for. So it lines up. So
and that's separate from what you have everywhere else, because you have HVAC controls, water, and envelope. And is that supposed to be with HVAC? That section, that first column?
Yeah, it's supposed to be with HVAC as well.
Okay.
So if you look at the very first column, mm-hmm. what's provided in the bond, the admin building, it was provided in the bond, and refrigerated air. Not provided, why is the first one? Well, you could split the admin building, but it has some evap cooling in the warehouse.
The admin building, we did not replace the evaporative coolers that are in the warehouse. Again, when you look at that facility and you have, you know, with the comings and goings and raising of doors, you know, it did not seem to make sense to try to condition that space, and so that's what's being excluded.
And we realized quite a bit of savings when we suspended anything to do with the administration.
Right.
So we're able to funnel that back in there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but we are putting controls in here.
Oh, yeah. I would hope.
If we talk about...
back there, please.
So if you compare it, so you can see the first column, these are all the bond, where the bond committed to provide refrigeration.
Please.
And the second column, what Johnson Controls is providing. So with the exception of admin, they are providing refrigerated air at every campus they committed to. As far as ductwork, they are providing ductwork at the majority of the campuses, six out of them, and specifically mentioned in the bond on these
CES.
Wow.
You say they're providing it?
It was named.
But yet there's only one exit, CE, so...
So the first column is the one that...
That's the only one that was provided by the bond.
In other words, it was a line item in your
brown sheet. The first column is where the bond...
So the only one that was provided by the bond or ductwork.
Yes,
where the bond language specifically says...
Ductwork.
Ductwork. Okay.
Throughout the district for the bond.
Right.
And we're, in our proposal, we're doing it throughout because we have to distribute the year. And there's no way to do it without putting the ductwork.
Fixing it.
Yeah, it was our assessment that looking at
I can now, but...
That was there was an adequate...
So you're saying that what you're planning to provide is for all schools, for all the
that's like a compliment.
Refrigerated air besides admin
and us.
All the campuses, you're providing the ductwork.
Yes, and it is not 100%. It's the ductwork in the bulk of the areas. It's the duct. So
it's not the whole thing. It's where
not
it's needed.
Exactly.
Right.
So if somebody tells you, hey, this room didn't get it, it's because that room was okay.
There's already air distribution.
And I think what needs to be stated here is that when we look at Johnson Controls, we're really looking at HVAC and realizing that we didn't specify enough in our bond program, that we have to go back now and say, hey, we need to do these in order for these to be efficient. We're talking about this, and structurally, why would you put a package on the roof if you can't support it?
Right.
I mean, that just
right.
boggles the mind. So,
crazy. And that's part of our scopes that are going to be done for the replacements.
Great. Yes,
so one of the things that's come up. So I just wanted to point out two things. One, that the Lone Star DEAP isn't part of this, and also we have to consider. So this is not part of the project. Just so everybody knows. And then the other thing is because of working with all the custodians and things like that, is also to be aware of the fact that, and this is open, and of course we're just going by, it's kind of like an oral history, but of the language of all the documents I collected, it doesn't really include heating. And so we just wanted you all to be cognizant of that and just to know, of course, when you get down to the sticker price, you know, that, I mean...
You mean for this particular one, it's only cooling?
For the proposed scope of work at this time. Okay, so if you look through all of the language of the bond, it says HVAC, refrigerated air, windows upgrades, extra vac, refrigerated air, HVAC, insulated ductwork,
there was no
HVAC, system replacements.
No heating.
But Well, so at this time, the project doesn't include heating, so I just wanted you guys to, for the CBAC and for the board and for, because I know from here it goes out to the community and everybody that people know, so that come this winter, it wasn't just like, Jennifer, you know, just so that you all are on, you know.
What sort of costs are you expecting if we add heating?
We have looked at, we did a model for one campus, and that we used Cantu Middle School to model that. Looking, if we were to do heat there, you'd be talking about about $500,000 to add heat to it.
One campus.
At that one campus. And let me kind of clarify a little bit. What you have right now, of course, is the hydronic heating system,
yeah.
Which is the, you know, that uses the radiator. Mm-hmm. And you know, the
right.
It's an efficient system in the way that it was designed. Mm-hmm. I know there are some maintenance issues associated with that currently, and we understand that. The units that we are installing, one of the things that as it relates to the use of the hydronic system right now is that during the winter months, there is no fresh air coming into those classrooms. There is no circulation. And so the units that we are installing, while they are only refrigerated air, we're also installing heat strips into those units. It won't totally bring the temperature to a comfortable level within the room. But what that's designed to do is, during the heat cycle, the outside air will be, fresh air will be brought in through those units. And with our control system, we'll be able to coordinate the operation of the heating system with the HVAC system so that you're not running cooling at the same time you're running heating. But by bringing in the heat strips within those units, you know, if you have outside air at 20 degrees, mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, if you bring 20-degree air in there and mix it with the hydronic heat, you're going to have some cold spots.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we're doing with the heat strips is tempering that air to a level so that it mixes, so that we maintain room temperature, you know, that is comfortable for those students. The other thing is, because there will be air circulating in the room now, and that it will get a better distribution of the heating system that you have in place, because right now, as you know, that heat comes up that wall and it's warmer on this side of the room than it is this side of the room. And so we'll actually be bringing fresh air in, tempered to some extent, to circulate that heat and again create a greater comfort level throughout the building or throughout the room.
So right,
has heating been an issue in the past? I mean, what's your take?
Well, they did like a massive boiler upgrade, and they're getting it. You know, some of the terminal units aren't that great, but I mean, they've gotten it up and running. The two that struggle the most with heating are the two middle schools. Right now, the only part of Johnson Control's proposal that includes heating is at CMS, the area that M&K is remodeling.
Yes.
Because as they go through and remodel that whole wing, they're going to demo out those heaters, and then it'll just okay. be just that area, just so that it looks sharp. You know?
I guess the question is, if we decide not to do the heating right now, is this something we can add later?
No.
It really isn't. I mean,
because you got gas or power, and I mean, I'm gas.
Electric.
You go to heat pumps.
Yeah.
I mean, the other part is understand once you go to that add that heating load,
mm-hmm.
your M&O cost is going to escalate.
Even more.
Those winter months. Even though we'll be doing the proposal would be to do gas, and the cost that the budget cost that we just discussed is actually providing gas heating, and so you actually have to. We're running gas lines. We'd be running new gas lines on the roof to all those units, and you know, which is the major part of that cost.
Yeah.
Is getting the gas lines to the units. The cost differential in units not that great,
mm-hmm.
but providing the gas. To the units. And you'd be, again, you're doing away with the, you know, the boilers that were just replaced and, mm-hmm. and the systems. We know that there are some, you know, that they do have some valve issues in those units, that is an ongoing maintenance issue with those units,
mm-hmm.
and that has to be maintained. But at this point, because of the dollar restraints that we had in the bond, and with what we understood was the intent of the bond from the beginning with our discussion with administrative staff. That's one the approach that we took.
Excuse me, where else have you installed the system here? School districts?
We work with school districts throughout the state. We have actually 17 branch offices throughout the state. School districts, I have a list of school districts. I'll tell you right now, we're doing this, we're in phase five of doing this with the city of El Paso. We're in at Fort Bliss, we're in phase
four or five, I believe.
Four there. So, you know, we're very active in the community as far as, you know, doing this type of technology.
But, and I understand the question. You know, we understand the what's needed out here. And so we feel by the heat strips recirculating that air, we really feel that that'd probably be sufficient without having to go with that cost, because now you're talking about exuberant costs per school that you would have to consider. And I don't, you know, we personally don't feel that that's really a factor, because it warms up here as well. You have a few cold days, very cold. But I think that can be mitigated through the heat strips and through the hydronic heating and circulating the air and controlling it.
It's going to be far superior.
So you're suggesting to keep those hydronic systems?
That's what my question was going to be. How is it
far superior than what you have today?
Yeah.
Okay. You're going to be having air movement. You're going to have fresh air. You're going to have a more comfortable environment for the students, for sure.
So it's a definite upgrade.
The heat. Yeah.
The heat, though, is
the Cadillac and the
where have you installed this particular unit? And it's been in operation for several years.
Yeah, we've installed these units throughout the state in school districts. From in the local districts, we actually have a branch office here in El Paso, along with 17 branch offices throughout the state. And so we deliver all types of units, these rooftop units, chill water systems to school districts throughout the state.
But you sounds like a specific school in El Paso or
the closest district has this system operational for some time, a couple of years, 3 years.
This particular system, we've got a chill water system. I'm trying to think, because a lot of the systems that we've installed is chill water, which is at Fabens. We put in the pool pot system there at Fabens for the campus.
We'll get some cases.
The exact same. But
we track that. I apologize. I can't name them off the top. I don't want to tell you this. And so I'd rather go back and get a database of all the equipment that we saw. Let me pull it out of there.
Yeah, there's nothing unique about the units we're putting on. They happen to be cooling only. The unique part is that you've got an existing heating system that's going to be retained, and it's really just the controls interface that they mentioned.
Yeah, the only reason I'm asking is, you know, check with somebody.
Yes,
reference the system. Absolutely. They're happy with it or not happy.
Yes, sir.
With it.
Yeah, I understand the question. Yeah, and like I say, I don't want to speak off turn. I want to make sure I give you the correct school district, and I'll get you some contact. We'll get you for some contact information there too. That's a good question. I understand the question very well, yes, sir.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
So with the refrigerated air, you're including under note 8, bond provided, which includes the window upgrades at 3 campuses, the added insulation, which you're talking about, district replacement of roofs. The bond called for window and insulation of perimeter walls and ceilings at 3 campuses, CE, Deltona, and Davenport.
Correct.
Plus insulation only at CMS and at admin. No replacement of windows. But I see that you're not recommending window replacements, but rather resealing them.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
And reglazing, I believe, as well.
Yeah. Right. And the purpose for that?
When we looked at, we did an envelope study with our architect, and you know, one of the issues I know with the windows is some of them aren't operable, and obviously going with the DX system, I mean, we would rather not be opening the windows, and because our control system will be calling for either heat or air, and certainly maintaining fresh air based upon, you know, the need. And so it's, you know, that the controls will do that. When we evaluate those windows, the window systems themselves, you know, they're double pane windows currently.
At all the campuses?
Yes, I believe that's right. Is that they're double pane windows. The ceiling around those has failed. Again, it comes back to a cost versus savings. By sitting around those windows, you know, it stops the air loss or airflow, obviously. The cost, to be perfectly honest with you, the cost to replace those windows versus the savings that you realize from that, the payback on that becomes very, very long. And so, you know, in theory, you always think that that's a great solution for energy conservation. But the reality of it is when you look at the engineering on that, and Ken, you can speak to this better than I can, but the savings that you actually realize when you replace those windows versus the cost of replacing those windows, the paybacks tend to be, you know, 20 to 30 years out there, you know, or longer.
We've done them in historical facilities where they've had really, really old windows that were single pane, put in the, you know, 19-0-something, right, and had to come back in and put in double pane glazed windows, and even the paybacks on those with that disparity in the two types of windows is like in the 30 to 50 year payback.
My question then to the board is, because it was projected as a bond project, window replacements and insulation, are you doing the insulation? Perimeter walls and ceilings?
Not the perimeter walls, no. Again, the engineering and architectural firms that assess the buildings, they're fairly mass intensive buildings. In other words, they have like concrete masonry unit exterior walls, which is a bigger factor really than putting a lot of insulation on a wall. When you look at the cooling load on a building, generally the biggest load is going to be the people and the lights inside of it. That's the number one load for cooling. The next one generally is going to be outside air that you bring into the building, and then we're dealing with all those things. The third, the next, and the first envelope, largest one, is the roof. We were told and assessed and verified that since the bond program was initiated, there were roofs replaced.
Well, prior to this bond issue.
But prior to this bond issue, there were roofs replaced that added some.
We did all our roofs.
And not all the roofs were replaced.
Prior bond.
During the district-wide roof project.
Right.
Not replaced.
No. They were
patched up.
Yeah, they're patched up, resealed.
Some of them, not weren't replaced, but they added a different insulation system. Not only that, we put insulation on the interior of the roof.
My understanding was that they were. And we did take a sample.
Did core them.
We did do a core.
Yeah, we did coring of the facilities and the professionals.
So would you tell me right now that the three campuses, the CE, the Bill Childress, and the Anna Davenport, you've actually done tests to where you see that they do not need that insulation.
That's correct.
But they're not saying that they're not going to fix the windows. They're going to weatherize the windows.
I'll get there in a minute. But cool. I want to make sure that we're on the same page.
Okay.
What you're telling me is that there's not going to be any needed perimeter insulation on the walls or the ceilings because you've done a test that shows that it's not needed. Correct? That's a guarantee from you.
The cost benefit, just like the windows, it's the cost benefit analysis. There's not enough additional savings by putting on the insulation for the roofs and the walls to justify its expense with the minimal increase in savings that you would.
Okay. Now, but I understand the savings, but what about the comfort for the students?
Right.
I mean, is it going to suffice that when it's cold, that because there's no heating that goes with this, we're going to keep our old heating. So I'm assuming that when it's in the winter, we're going to turn up our heat, and that so that's going to contain it. Right. But for with the refrigerated air, that inside we're going to be able to feel the difference between evaporative and refrigerated, even though there's not the right same the insulation.
Right.
The insulation.
Well, right. The study when we looked at the current wall systems. The R value that was calculated on the current wall systems was about a 5.7. And so we looked at some opportunities to add insulation on the outside. There's some systems that will do that to take it to an R value of 19. The issue becomes, you know, what does that do for savings of that? And then what does it impact the size of the units that you're putting on to maintain the comfort level? In other words, if I insulate the outside of the wall, am I able to reduce the size of the unit? You know, that I don't need as much tonnage because, you know, it is. And in doing that analysis, you know, what we found was that we couldn't reduce the tonnage size. We weren't going to substantially, it wouldn't substantially impact any of the comfort levels within that classroom because we're size. What we've done in the engineering is we look at the total building envelope and package, and we have to size the equipment based upon, you know, the lighting that's in it, the student load that's in there, and the R value that's present in that building. And so we have to size the unit to meet all those criteria. And I'm saying that? Correct, Ken. And so that was the study that we did in coming up with the recommendation. Because you're right, it all has to coordinate, you know, the insulation on the walls, insulation in the ceilings, the sizing of the units, what type of lighting is in there, the student load, all that has to be calculated and to make sure that we provide the comfort.
So now we'll have a control for the refrigerated air, and then we'll still have the same control that we have now for the heat. Correct?
You will still have the same thermostat control. We will add controls to the heating system so that you can never have a situation where you have compete. So you can't be calling for air conditioning at the same time you're calling for heating. And so the control system that we will put in will ensure that you don't have those two.
It's like it is now. Right. It's like it is now. If it's evaporated, they have to go up there, they have to maintain, they have to clean, and it's ready to go to turn on. When they de-weatherize them or shut them down, then we have that control there, but we have no control.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but now you
will don't turn it on.
Now
it's the heat.
You're not going to have any of that anymore. No,
right.
No maintenance like
no,
that.
No, I understand.
Okay.
If you're
hot,
right. Right. Okay. Okay.
You
just
turn
on. What
I'm talking about in the classroom,
it's awesome.
Okay, I need the refrigerated air. It's summertime. All I have to do is turn it on, right? Or I don't even know if I have that control.
Yeah.
I don't think it'd be teacher issue.
No, okay.
No, it's not going to be teacher issue.
It's
going to waste all our energy.
But when it comes
with
you'll
have a single control device in the classroom.
No, that's not correct. Actually, what will happen right now,
but
when you shut those units off,
if we let them do it,
as you say, weatherize those units,
will
our if you get into the situation like you are now, it's 40, here, it's 30 in the morning and you're cold, and it's 70 in the afternoon and you're hot.
Yes.
Well, what's going to happen now is you'll have heat in the morning up to the
units.
Point that the outside air
it's
reaches
just,
the point that we
they're made
where
more
you're
efficient because
and so year round you can have that heat while cooling. So and you're not limited to just okay for these months we're heating only. With the system that with the refrigerated air and the controls. You can have heat in the morning and have a
their energy's
in the
probably up and down.
Yeah, jumps up to 75 and it's hot
yeah,
stuff
can
in the
do that
room,
too,
it's going to call for air, and so you'll have air conditioning in the afternoon.
Not only do you have controls, more importantly, you have an energy management system.
Correct.
That will automatically do that conversion, just like it does at your house. If you've got a conventional heating system that might be a gas furnace and a cooling system that automatically does it, that's the way this will work.
Right now, there's nothing.
What you're
saying.
Heating system that's there.
Even though you're not doing nothing to the heating, it's going to be working out.
We're going to be controlling that heating using
when he calls
a single me. Control system.
And so, okay, go ahead. And so that's what we did. We wanted to bring forward the best package for the district. And so we used, we did the building envelope study. We took a look at the windows, the insulation. How can we best use those finances to be able to best serve the district.
And the money that you've already spent, the investment in the boilers, right, that's been done.
Yeah.
With the heating issue, if we were to just not replace the entire system, mm-hmm. just the unit, just put, whatever, like in your home, you have, you got a cooling unit, you have a little Lennox heating unit.
Yeah.
Take whatever we have is currently there out and put just the newer of what's currently there back in.
You mean registers?
We have
it's
huge.
It's a hydronic.
Huge.
Light. So you have to, it's because it's not just the
boiler.
Unit, like you have like the circulating loop,
It's hot water.
Hot
it's
water.
Hot,
oh, okay.
It's based on a hot water system.
Okay. So
it runs water around the building.
Oh.
Right.
Totally.
And
I've got it.
Radiation
mm-hmm.
is what it is.
Okay.
And
I've
what
got
we're
it.
We're going to be doing, we'll be recirculating that air to move that
yeah.
heat.
I've got you.
With the heat strips. We added the heat strips to
I understand
serve.
Completely.
It's a
yes.
really efficient way to
yes.
do heating. It really is. It's
I completely
just a
understand.
Of being able to control it better. And that's what the control overlay mm-hmm. and the energy management system.
So you've got the radiant heat system, or we've got the radiant
yeah.
heat
that's
system
right.
is what I'm hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Great. That's
we
good,
didn't
actually.
We really take
yeah.
credit for any savings relative to
yeah.
heating. It's a good potential. There will be some.
Mm-hmm.
We just...
Yeah, you won't have to have them on as much because you're
correct.
Circulating that
yeah,
air.
They won't be running
exactly.
as much as they are now.
Yeah.
So you've done tests on the walls for the insulation and came back at 5.7, you said, R rating? Have you done tests on the roof?
We need some core samples.
What did it come back at, do you know?
We have that documentation. We need to get that.
We can share that.
But it's probably like 300 installations.
At least, but I've got to get Summit to give us that.
Did you do it at every school, or is it just that?
I think it was just a sampling.
Yeah, we sampled the roofs. Yeah.
But at every school?
I'll verify that.
Yeah, I don't want to come in. I think
I'll verify
it was,
that for you.
We knew it was done.
We have that envelope study. We can bring that back with that information to you.
Because it'd be pointless to put in new units.
Where it doesn't need it.
Well, not even where it doesn't need it, but if the R value of the
correct
is going to be at 5.7, you know, our energy is going to be off the roof.
The walls are 5.7.
Well, right, but I'm just saying, if the roof happens to come back at 5.7,
yeah, we're
shooting ourselves in the foot.
Yeah, I apologize for not having that with me tonight, but I'll bring it.
And I think it needs to be done at all the campuses because of the difference in
ages
of these schools.
CMS is probably the most concerning.
Yeah, and guys, let me tell you one thing that we're going to have the hard decision is it called for that? The problem was because the bond cost that was assigned for this, or rather the funds that were assigned to this, it'd be great if we could do all of that. But if you'll remember, the very first estimate that was given to us when MNK was present here in the room, the boardroom, they, if I recall right, it was around 17 million or 20 million.
For the entire district?
To do the district, and that was just the HVAC, is that correct? Something to that effect. That was without controls, right? Without controls, without the upgrades of the windows, the insulation, anything else.
Okay, my question now then to the board, because these were projects that were controlled on, and we want to transparency. That's why SPAC was.
In other words,
my question is though, we have figures that. Based on the replacement of windows, energy efficient windows, and the insulation of the perimeter walls and ceilings on the campuses that it called for, it's almost $5 million, correct?
That's what you had in the budget.
That's what you had. So my question now, if they're not doing the insulation, if they're not doing the replacement of the windows, but yet ceiling, I don't think that's going to cost that much. So what then is the district going to do with that money that was budgeted was these.
So what they're doing is they're rolling up all the items that are in blue into $1 item, which is for Johnson Controls. And so those things, they took all that money, kind of analyzed it as a single problem. And so that money is being used to offset all these other things, like the structural upgrades, the water conservation, the controls, and all of that. In other words, it's all rolling up to that $1 contribution to finance the,
because
the
they're all
envelope climate comfort control.
There is no savings.
Do the HVAC without doing those.
Correct.
So do we?
Well,
it goes to the way
that they
put the units and put the windows.
No. Heck no.
This isn't being done.
Right.
No. Additional $5 million. Right. You said it was going to be done.
That's what we're going to do.
All you did was just add everything together.
Right. If you look at your end goal of insulation and stuff as comfort of the end user, which Johnson Controls is saying is like, hey, we're using that same dollar amount to ensure the comfort, but through a different approach.
And the dollar amount is $10.7 million for insulation, ceilings, windows, weatherizing. So really that's, if we were to go through each line item and look at just insulation alone, you wouldn't need to do insulation if we're going to go ahead and do air conditioning because of the R value that was discovered. And I think it's just we earmarked that money for improving the sort of climate inside the classrooms. And I think that's where all this money will go.
And what it gets down to is we don't have the money to do everything that was proposed in the bond, because the bond didn't
do it right.
Include estimates, or rather
scope of work
for electrical, for various other things, ductwork,
structural
controls, structural support, none of that. So if we don't include that, we can't have the refrigerated systems. So we need to get that money from somewhere.
When the bond calls for, like, for instance, just this one particular campus, DE, Davenport, evaporative to refrigerated air conditioning, it called for $650,000.
Yep.
And additional was the installation of energy efficient windows at $165,000.
Mm-hmm.
The installation of perimeter walls and ceilings for $550,000. So what you're telling me right now, that these numbers were way below.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Can you tell me what it would actually cost to have the refrigerated air from evaporated to refrigerated, to have the windows replaced, to have the perimeter walls and ceilings insulated if you'd be? What would it be for one campus?
I don't know.
That's hard.
I don't have the cost calculated that way.
I don't know, but one thing that we can ask them to do, because, for example, in talking with finance, you know, with all the complicated things they do, they asked us to assign a dollar value to each of the things that we were doing. So, for example, at CMS, if we were remodeling this area and then another area, there were two separate bond projects, to assign a dollar value to each one in their schedule of value so that they could, whatever finance does. So we could ask Johnson Controls to do the same thing when they present it, to say, to give a dollar amount for the switch to refrigerated air at such and such a campus, so that they can bring it down.
I just think that would help a lot in transparency to the
community. Oh, yeah,
members,
for sure.
Because we're putting it in a certain way here, but yet we're doing something else.
And I think what needs to be communicated is the fact that that document that you have in your hands was partial and didn't take into account a lot of the necessary items that are required for HVAC, for insulation, for envelope.
But the unfortunate thing is the community and taxpayers who aren't here don't know it.
Oh, yeah. No,
we understand.
Yeah. To be able to explain to them,
exactly.
I would like to see that.
Yeah.
That's why I think
it's... You know what? It wasn't done this way, but it was done this way.
Right, and that's why I think it's so important, because we know that you guys are the ones that get the voice out there, and so there's no like grumbling, like, hey, this is what's really going on, so that you can go and, you know, get it out there, because it's the rationale behind it and everything, so you can get the word out.
This is where the burden lies back on the board, because you all went out there and made promises to the public.
Mm-hmm.
So we are here and we do see it and we know about it. And we try to reach as many people as we can. But, I mean, how many people are in our district?
And we understand
and they don't
that.
Know. But let me finish though. At work, there's quite a bit of community members and they're upset that nobody's gone out there and said, hey, this is what we're doing. For whatever reason, there was a shortfall like this that we didn't take into account for the electrical upgrades. Nobody's talking about that. And they're seeing, again, the football field. That's the first thing that comes to their mind.
Mm-hmm.
You spent all this money on the football field, but you guys didn't do anything else.
Mm-hmm. One more thing for me. I work at a school, and the word around is, here we all are with no money, no heating, no cooling, but board is, here we go on another trip. Off to who knows where, but yet you're a teacher, send one person, come back, train the others. All of you have gone, maybe only Adrian should go, because he's new. That's what teachers are saying.
Sorry about that guy.
You know that? And it's sad, because I just grin, and I'm like, well,
they have to go to the state convention.
Well, right? I understand that, but
don't go to the nationals, and that's a fun one.
I think, first off, Clarice, thank you for that one, but.
Jennifer, what I'm hearing, though, from our community members is, a lack of communication.
Correct.
And that it may all be an even scale to us who are sitting at this table. We've robbed Peter to pay Paul, and Paul's happy, and he's going to take care of Peter, too.
Yeah.
But the community is not seeing that because they're not here on a day-to-day basis. I'm sorry, we are, but we are here on a day-to-day basis.
And it's something that we've been asking from the very beginning, that communication piece.
Well, that's why this is what I'm going to...
This is what we did for...
Exactly. Gustavo is supposed to have in our envisions letter, were y'all here earlier? When he said he was going to write the letter and specifically address these issues in the bond.
We asked him to all the...
Does that share that with the committee that will be having to put something like this again?
And?
Yes.
Or hasn't been done, so he said it would...
And you also got to think that envisions newsletter doesn't get to everyone.
That's correct.
Although he says it gets to everyone, there's still members in our community that it doesn't get to. I still don't get that envisions newsletter.
Because it's fairly new, new.
And I've been there 3 years, and I've asked my neighbors, have you gotten it? And they still told me, what is that?
I think we are moving in the right direction.
And then you write this down, that we've got community areas that we are not getting the envisions letter.
And Gustavo knows about this, and he said that he checked in on it, and
We need to check it again.
Well, we have, so this is only the second envision that's coming out. So you didn't get the one 3 months ago. It was about 3 months ago.
We didn't get one 3 months ago.
Okay, this new one hasn't been sent out.
Because the envisions newsletter has been coming out for quite some time, from what I'm aware of.
For 15 years.
And we've never gotten, we've been there for 3.5 years, we've never gotten.
Okay, and that's up here.
Right.
Similar.
As an example, you've all been working on this for quite a long time, and today's the first thing we heard about it. And we're supposed to be the committee that's keeping people abreast of things. We just found out today.
Wait, but remember what we said at CBAC, what we did say at CBAC too, is that this committee is on, you know, now we have it on your, it's always on the site. But it's always the week before, you know, the Wednesday before, and it's a public meeting, and it's on the website. I always have to check the website, see what we're doing that same night, and I'm here and I work here. I get it. You know what I mean? Because of so much information. But we also have to admit now that there's a lot. We have a lot of information. We're spending a lot of money that we're putting out for a new website that we're putting out information on. That we're going to have lots of information, and this site will be a focal point of it. That we're going to probably upgrade. We can look at upgrading this every 3 weeks.
And who's that guy that's running it?
Melchor.
What's his name?
Jerry.
Jerry.
The third wise man.
Jerry Melchor.
Melchor. When I say Melchor, they say Melchor. I say Melchor, they say Melchor.
Melchor. Is he Hispanic?
No, there's another one. Balthazar.
Yes.
Thank you.
Not everybody, I'm sorry to you, Mr. Carpenter, is web based.
And Mrs. Searles.
But there also has to be a level of commitment.
Yes.
There also has to be a level of commitment from the citizenry to also get it. Because we do give out the information. We'll be glad to give. We could come out, everything that we do on that website, we could do a PowerPoint, you know, remember the olden days when we used to have to mail out the packets, you know, to certain people? No, we did. We used to mail out, not the whole pack, but we mailed out the information to certain people.
Community members. They were mailed out.
When they asked us for it. And guess what? We still do that.
So
you know, I mean, we can. We've discussed about the whole communication piece before, and even too far ago as to the schools when they're doing the progress report. We're going to try to set something up like that and said, you know, a board member and a CBAC member would be present at every school. You know, whatever happened to that?
Well, you know what happened to that? I can tell you what happened to that. December.
Did you guys know about that?
December, January, and an interim superintendent came in and she forgot about that. I'm going to be absolutely honest.
Good answer.
So that's fine.
Guys, there's been other...
That was me. Yeah. I didn't know I was going to be the one.
Well, there's been other issues we have to deal with, frankly, guys. But let's get back on track.
We've done every effort. We've done, like, the road show, you know, like 5-6 nights a week. They went and advertised it in all the campuses.
We're going to be here, whoever can make it.
Everyone's
back for the meeting. And you know that I'm here.
Yeah.
You know.
Lily, I would encourage you to take that document that you have because that's what was promised to the voters, and that's what we came with in the facilities. Give a copy to the webmaster guy. So the development of that content is really yours, and we can say this is what was promised, and this is what we're doing. Because that way it's line item by line item, and kind of explain why we're kind of grouping the blue items, so to speak, and actually providing a solution. Because this is a great solution. I mean, we have to think that these buildings are old.
And
really
every
old.
Single line item in that brown PowerPoint is in this one, so that I didn't lose track of a single one. And Johnson Controls has presented. They practically live here. They come out all the time. So.
But this was one of the issues, and you know, from the CBAT meeting last week.
Yeah.
The biggest issue. And that's what we wanted to hear from you all.
And I know that that's a gap. So if you'll notice when Gustavo presented, and maybe we need to bump that to the round table, but we decided to put a standing agenda item that's community outreach. When he talked about the website, but that's your time to jump in with your...
That once in a while,
I try with my
this
megaphone
meeting
to get
is
it out here,
for
but,
the
like,
community.
Only, like, you know, you gotta,
we're
like,
trying. And you know... what else? So, but and I think we can move forward with at least with some of the things that we have been putting into place for the last couple of months. It feels like that's
but
not coming to fruition.
What I hear though is that even though it was laid out, this is going to happen. We had our engineers, all these brilliant people, evaluated and say, instead of doing this, you're going to get a better return on your money doing this.
Exactly.
And we are going to guarantee that that's going
to
happen.
That's the document that we need to put on the line, on the website.
Yeah.
That's the document right there.
I mean, it's really simple. It's,
you know,
we took Plan B.
And the last thing we want to talk about.
How we might be able to help you voice it better to the community.
Well, I can understand the cost. It's a
put
huge
it in a
state.
Format.
But more important to me, the cost is the students.
Right. Right. Exactly.
That's our first goal.
That's
our first
goal.
That's our first priority.
Okay. What's the next item?
The last thing on Johnson Controls is the status and timeline. So they are getting us the plans of the scope of work for each campus, and they're going to be presenting that to the board at our next board meeting. So one of the things that's really critical is they have a very narrow window of time this summer, okay? And in order for them to get it all, a bulk of it's going to be done in the summer. Then they're doing work plans, and they're going to get out. We're going to clean it. They have promised to strip and wax the floors, which I'm pretty happy about.
They're going to strip and wax the floors.
They are?
We're negotiating that. Jennifer's trying to twist my arm.
By the time it's over, they're going to be like dusting and like cleaning the windows.
We just want to make sure we're not in the way of the people that are.
Well, no, what's happening is since they're there.
You misspoke.
Most campuses ask for at least 6 weeks with all their custodians to clean and prep, and so they want, like, the longer they're there, and at the very end, that leaves, like, where I have to have, like, every single custodian, and even then, like, it's going to be, like, a riot when the teachers, you know. So to mitigate that, if you could tell them, hey, they'll strip and wax the floors, your custodians can help you in your other stuff, that'll smooth it over. And then, so we're working on that, and then after everyone gets moved in, they're going to transition into a night shift. But here's the deal. In order for them to do that, they have to order their units by April 1st. So in the March, in order to be able to drop everything on the roof. So, like, whatever you guys want to do, but, like, do it in March or do it next year. That would really make it a lot easier.
Well, you're calling for a special board meeting.
But that's in April.
That's in April. So this, we actually have an agenda line.
We can do this on March 26th
meeting. It's on there.
Yeah.
It's on there. Okay. So we just wanted to let you know that that's on there. PSC's on there. We're lining up for April 1st.
Yeah.
We're getting our work plans. We're getting our custodial plans. And
so make sure the agenda item's there.
Please.
It's there. It's already there.
Jennifer, did you?
Just make sure.
If everything goes through and the board approves this, then you said you would start to do your work on these campuses this summer?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah,
that's our intent.
Yes, ma'am. We have an implementation schedule that we set out with staff.
Right.
And basically, we have a plan that will deliver air conditioning to all the campuses during the summer months, with the exact exception of Alvarado.
So here's a draft we met on, like, this week. This is, like, their phase two. So they would finish this wing by August 2nd. And then August 2nd, then they would remove the custodians and all, everything could get ready. And then they would finish this by August 2nd. Then they would finish this section and this section by August 9th. And then they would do this one at the 16th. So that way they prioritize the classrooms.
That's tight.
Yeah, it's
very tight.
And you're not even a principal.
But that's not at every campus. It's one campus at a time.
No, it's every single campus.
That brings up a question. Is going to be, is the refrigerated cooling impact going to be just in the classrooms or the hallways too?
Always.
Always as well.
Yeah. It's an entire zone, I believe, right?
Mm-hmm. So,
one zone.
Where there's a vapid cooling net, we're replacing those with VXO.
There's a total of 395 units being replaced.
Yeah, which is on this schedule. You can see the total.
So, here's the deal.
It's so much better.
So, teachers come back on Monday the 19th, okay? So, that means that your custodians have 3 weeks before the teachers come back on your August secondaries, okay? Then they have to finish this in 1 week. Then the next week, mm-hmm. they have to move to this area. And then your third week, and they have to do this area while the staff is there. So in other words, they finish everything in time for the custodians to finish to fix up the classrooms. The teachers come back, and once the teachers are back, then they focus on the public and the admin areas. So realize that from a custodial perspective,
it's a nightmare.
That's drama. Yeah, it's drama. Okay, see, I want you to look at her face. And this is why you're dripping and waxing the floors, okay? Because right there, this presentation is going to tank. So, like, you're going to present, and then I'm going to duck behind you.
Okay. I'm glad I'm big.
We're going to cut 120 high school guards.
No. We have a plan.
That's why I'm saying it's an orchestration.
So we're going to
get one thing messes up.
So we're going to present at leadership. We're going to present the leadership to all the principals, okay? And we're going to get that like magnified by.
Feel my head turning gray.
So how good it was done by.
Yeah. So after we present this, we can say, hey, Mike and Stripper Mike's the floors. If we need to hire a few temps, maybe this program will go. Look at that.
Everything sounds great so far, and you're doing a great job, but. Somebody talk to somebody that's got a similar system and see if they're satisfied.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, that's
what sheet did you got?
Well, yeah. We have to keep Mr. Price actually the number one fan.
No, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that's very easy to do. Yeah. No, not a problem. You can do that, no problem.
That they would do something like this.
Yes, I am.
You'll send it to him in the mail.
Oh, yeah.
We'll send it to him by tomorrow.
Yeah.
If not tomorrow, I'm actually traveling tomorrow, so it might be Friday.
All right.
Guys,
we'll have it with her.
For a second, can we focus on letting them finish and then we can ask some more questions because we really need to.
So the next phase.
There's some other critical stuff that we need to.
It has all the schools that we're going to be replacing units at. A total of 395 package units have been replaced. The counts at the bottom, total counts. And it's got all the schools that are being impacted. Again, beyond the bond, with schools that was. I think two schools are being impacted, if I'm not mistaken, that wasn't in the bond. So we're trying to take care of all schools, making them equal. Next page, control systems. It's going to be for every school. This, again, was another piece that is not a part of the bond. This is actually what's going to control your systems.
These are the thermostats out there?
Yes. And it's all going to be web-based. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have stations.
This isn't going to impact our existing IP network. It's its own isolated network.
No, it will run on your backbone.
Yes. Oh.
We talked to your IT person.
Yeah, he's been meeting with Tony.
You okay with that?
Oh, yeah. We've been. That's why we had that other thing that we talked about the other day about the upgrade.
Okay.
Both.
You have one for my campus and then a central.
Whoever's designated.
Right. Now, but the thing about it, too, is because it's web-based, it can actually be accessed at any point.
Right.
So if you have anybody with a smartphone or an iPad, anything that has the internet that you have password, it's password protected, so not anybody can go in. Let me make sure.
It's going to get hot in this room.
Yeah. If you have a hot call at a password.
Yeah, they do it to us all right.
If you know these persons at home and want to go online,
just bring them this
with us. Literally, if you've got a password, you go on the phone.
Yeah. But you'll be able to see if that unit's running, what the input temperature is, what the output temperature is.
Getting your email.
Right. And so it'll make your maintenance staff much more efficient.
That sounds great.
All right.
Absolutely. And then the other thing is that we'll know who gets on there. So if somebody's on your system.
It's a tracking.
We'll track it. We'll know who's at. So this way, you won't have that.
Yeah. Is there any concerns that we're overloading our existing IP network?
Well, that's what you
because
see.
Where we have phone data and now
if you
HVAC
look, if,
on
if
it.
You look on the March 26th information that has like all this stuff in it, we're
addressing
taking
that?
Care of that. Yes,
okay.
Sir.
We're good. We got with your IT folks.
Yeah, okay. And he's good with it. And he even said, "Actually,
it's just we're putting a lot of eggs in one basket. Somebody cuts a wire, we're
program." Well,
and that's what we do when we're buying virtual machines and we're doing backup. We have redundancy.
So we got redundancy.
Tony Flores is like.
So even at Garcia, when you're not, they already have.
Right. We're going to control.
When I grow up, I can be like.
For the whole
that's scary.
And that's what we're doing.
He's very organized.
And spend it in the best. Water upgrades, again, we talked about we're an energy services company. Next phase, water fixture. Each one of these facilities, again, this was not a part of the bond, but we're able to claim the savings from this and we're able to pay for that. Okay, you all there? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, Joel, okay. If you could just give you a plea for money.
Okay.
We're running out of time.
So anyway, we are doing a lot of upgrades, again, in all your campuses as far as water fixtures. HVAC equipment, cost all in, controls, total project cost. And I'm going to let Ken speak very quickly about LEED. We have money on in there for LEED certification, so.
Yes. Yeah, we're going to assess all of the campuses for LEED certification, ENERGY STAR, those types of things. We will benchmark everything. We will get with leadership of the district and understand and the community as well if they'd like to be involved and understand what the goals are from a sustainability standpoint and assess all facilities and use scorecards on how green those schools are. We targeted two schools, the high school, Lincoln High School, as well as Garcia, as projects we'd like to certify. That money is not included in the bond program, but all of our development costs to get to a point where we can assure you that we will be able to certify those two schools. We've heard that that's something this district would like to do, and ultimately one day potentially do all of the schools.
So all the total cost, here we go, Jennifer, $14,280,795, all the things we just spoke of. We are amount financed because of the guarantee. If you look at the contribution we're addressing right off the top, we know of $10 million, I think Jennifer, $10.7 million. So that number is going to change at the top, customer contribution. Amount financed because of the guarantee over the 15 years is $2,310,795 because we're guaranteeing those savings that you're going to realize. It's going to pay for some of those upgrades.
I have a question on that 1197. The blue lines total up to 10.7.
Yeah,
yeah.
So
and
the difference
is
1.2.
Yeah, we need to correct
that.
We need to correct that.
Okay.
Yeah. So that bottom footnote changes, yes, sir.
And the other thing that's really, really, really critical right now is the interest rate. Interest rates are good, 2.55. They've moved a half a percent, so, and it just moved there just the other day, so we had to change that number. So just keep that cognizant that
will this
sooner is later.
March the 26th
yes.
That we lock in?
Right.
Yes. We have it locked to the end of the month.
Okay.
Okay.
So it's going to be financed. I mean, you're going to get
portion of it.
Portion of it.
Anything above 10.7?
The
14, 280 minus the 10.705.
2,300,000.
Yeah,
because
finance.
No.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Finance.
Yeah. So and that's going to be 2.3 million finance, and we need to come up with the balance.
Yeah. So you don't need any more than the 10.705.
No. And that's why it's free. Kind of
you have 3.5 million that you're going to finance.
We're
not going to finance. There's still some options, and I don't think, and we're talking about this, we're probably not going to finance all of that. It's just options. We more than likely will be able to find some recaptured dollars from our taxes as well. So there are some revenue sources we're going to be able to apply.
But even if it is, I mean, the amount of amount of money that we're going to be saving would be,
yes,
would be okay with.
Oh, got it. Yes.
Yeah. And they have to do what they say they're going to do,
right,
or they break the law. So that's our guarantee. They all go away to prison.
It's by legislation. Yeah.
Thank you, Lisa.
I have one quick question.
Lily.
Yes, ma'am.
Upgrades. So you're replaced. What are you doing with the lavatory sinks?
In some cases where they need to be replaced, we're replacing them.
Okay. So it's 10.7 contribution, right?
10.705.
Right, energy. Then and plus and what they're going to finance, well, yeah, but they're going to need China a higher contribution up front of the 10.7 that we have somewhere. They're going to need, it's not this line, it's not 1.9, it's the wrong number, it's in the long line.
But I did see it.
We have to give a
did you see it?
And the little page. So we have 5 more bills. We're going to, okay, I don't care. 2.6 went to the district wide, like 1.3 going to this 9, that's 3.9. So that will give you like 1 million for the pre-K.
Yes.
Okay. Just like, just yeah. So you, okay. All right. Thank you.
All right.
Okay.
All right, guys, just let me sum this up by, I have a couple of questions. If we don't do the start immediately, if you don't order by April 1, that means this summer's out.
Yeah.
Okay, so what happens if this summer is out?
Price goes up.
And next year, not only the price goes up,
we have to look at the whole thing.
Interest rate next year is going to be...
I mean, it'll just be a magnitude of...
Exponentially things. Keep going up.
All right, and when do you guys need to have access to the actual campuses?
Well, they've had access.
Excuse me?
We're going to come back and talk to Jennifer, but...
I mean,
we want to start pulling the trigger, ordering equipment, doing things, that's a lead time that we have to have. That's 395 units we're ordering.
Yeah.
It's a
you're not going to do a populated, are you?
No.
They're not going to be populated. The buildings are not going to be populated any time.
We're going to be doing some of the work.
Some
work. Yes, after the work will be done after hours.
Okay. Non-intrusive time.
Okay. It's like at the high school right now. We're doing that project
amazing.
After hours.
We have looked at this and looked at this and looked at this. And, you know, we looked at summer school. We're looking at, we had to look at the IT schedule.
This
we
could
had
go up
to look at
several billions.
Okay, good.
This yeah. could go up several million.
So we're looking at least a million or two if we don't
probably
do this.
3 to 5.
Million if we don't do it now. Which that will prevent us from doing a district-wide deal if we don't
right.
do this
right.
next year.
And that's why that's a critical point, critical path. Right?
Okay.
What do you mean district-wide deals?
Because this is district-wide.
Yeah, if we can't.
Oh, I understand. Okay.
If we have to wait till next, then we won't be able to.
Oh,
because of our shortage,
yeah,
then
no,
we're not going to be able
now.
To do.
This is a smaller.
We're
going
to have to
have.
Cut some campuses out. Yeah. Is what's
no,
going to happen.
Got now.
If we don't do it now, yes.
Because the heating is not going, let's say, hand in hand with the refrigerator, right?
Okay.
The heating that we have right now, is it in any way going to affect down years to come the refrigerated system?
No.
Because you said earlier that we cannot replace it to go with refrigerated, like the dual control, right?
You could,
like
but they peg the price at $500,000 per campus
so
just to
can
upgrade it.
So it can be done just at a higher price.
And all we're doing is trying to manage those dollars.
But it's not going to affect it in any way to where it will be less effective.
No.
It cost this.
And again, we're creating the savings that we're going to guarantee.
More so,
we're
yeah. If you think about all the taxes. $4 million.
And then in this, towards the back, we talk about...
That's how much more we pay next year. Just
$4 million. We have to do on an annual basis to verify that you're realizing the savings by law.
Okay, thank you.
Guys, we could do this, include the heating deal. It's going to cost us about $3.5 million more. And that's something that, you know, we could talk about, but we're already short.
Okay,
$3 million.
Yeah, we can't stop it now. We can.
I know.
Well,
so that's what I'm saying. That's really going.
No, and I just want to know so that I can explain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why they're not doing it at the same time.
They're independent systems,
yeah.
But actually it's going to even work better
right.
with what we've got now.
So, and we'd change the scope.
I wish we could do the heating also with the gas, but...
maybe down the line?
We're down the line maybe... Well, no, down the line we can't because that has to be done right now with the unit.
And
Yeah, we can't do that. We'd have to do some other independent heating system after that.
Correct.
To replace the hydronic. To replace a hydronic. Yeah, it'd have to be something more efficient than what we have. That's going to be.
Wagon's ho, let's go full speed ahead now.
Yeah, so.
Okay, Jennifer, the next item.
The next item is the custodial equipment.
Guys, one other thing before we do. Y'all were saying that as far as the information, what we're doing, Johnson Controls is just told me they'd be willing to put out an information sheet for the community, something similar to this, is what's happening, what's going on, what they're going to do, something similar to what they did for Nueces County. So we'll be able to have that information sheet for the, that we can pass out to the to the community.
I can pass it out and I can put it on the website.
And
if it makes sense to you, right, then you can transmit it to others. And
now,
I would definitely include these phenomenal numbers that you have here, 395 units. I mean, really tell them what we're doing, because that right there, the community would be going, wow, they're really getting some bang for our buck.
Absolutely. I'm going to take this over. But again, it was an overview. This is Nueces County, Corpus Christi. The county judge won the elected official award for our project there. We did, you know, project scope, highlights, the overview, the savings, everything that we did there, going green, how many trees we saved, CO2 we added, all that, put that in as part of Ken's discussion on going green. So we can put something like this together. Our marketing team does this, and we can put it on your website. We have it.
Awesome.
It'd be great.
Thank you so much.
Would you like this copy so this way you have that?
Sure.
As a reference point?
Sure.
Okay.
All right. Lori, Adrian. The thing we need to do is about making a recommendation to the board is this is what we and it gets down to the dollars issue. If y'all will turn to that page.
Cash flow model?
Or the project financing?
Project financing.
Okay. Jennifer, question. The contribution from us is really not 11.9 but 10.7.
Yes, so what
budgeted
I was trying,
10.7, right?
Budgeted. So what I was trying to tell you is 10.7 is the total that we have currently planned as a bond. And so the total project cost is 14. So there's going to be a deficit of like a little under 1.3 million. And so that's something that Martha would have to find. So
okay,
just so that you know.
The amount financed is still 2.3, right?
Are you keeping the amount financed the same?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You kept the amount financed the same.
Changing the customer contribution to
10.7.
Well, actually, so what I'm saying is when you take the total project cost of 14, you subtract the amount financed, and you leave the 11,970. Of that 11,970, we have 10,700 in the bond, and then we would have to find the remainder.
Okay. How much?
1.2.
Like 1.2 or something.
Okay.
So we'd have to work with
does that. The 10.7 include the monies for this building? Or
yes.
Is that separated
yes, it does.
Out?
Yes,
you already
it includes
including
you already got
the envelope?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It does?
It does.
The 10.7?
Blues are in here.
Okay. All right. That's fine. So it's 10.7. So we're really about 3 points some short.
No.
Because 2.3 of that is financed.
No. Without financing it.
Yeah.
I mean,
exactly.
Our contribution right now is 10.7. So we're about 3 point something
3.5.
Million short.
Correct.
And of that, we need to determine
how much is going
to
be.
How much we recommend to the board to finance.
Exactly.
And in order to do that, I think what we need to approach is here is first, do we recommend this to the board to do, and the determination of how much to finance when we figure out, we won't have the recapture data until after our meeting.
Yeah. Right.
We will have,
I know.
We may not even have the preliminary one before our meeting.
I would bet you won't.
We won't.
So all else fails, what I suggest is that maybe we get Martha to work on and Jennifer is on an amount financed. I think we can live with if it's 3.5, I think we can live with maybe right now a finance amount of 2.5 and I just have it an even 1 million short that we need to either do from recapture or have the board on because the board's going to have to make a commitment without knowing
correct.
That there's any recapture. We can't think about that. So we need to vote whether or not to go ahead and commit to this, knowing that we may not have any recapture funds, and either get it from fund balance or we include it in the financing as well. So, Jennifer, if you and Martha will get together on the option of the finance, first thing I think is my opinion is, I think we need to do this. This is, even if we don't do any of the windows, all we do is reseal them. It's clear that if we don't take out that money and put it into these units, we're not going to get anything done district-wide in all the campuses. We're going to have to cut some of the campuses out. We can do what the bond said in terms of replacing windows where they said, but we're not going to be able to install the HVAC system district-wide. It's not going to happen. Just to have done that, our first estimate was $17 million before anything got off the ban, without any controls. JCI has come up with a plan that I think gives us a best shot. Yes, we're not going to be able to provide some of those things that we told the community in the bond that did it. And we take responsibility. The problem was the estimate that was done by our previous facilities director did not include some of these things that now Johnson Controls is telling us about, which is electrical, the structure support.
The envelope.
It goes on and on. No controls at all. I think here we have a system that's actually going to provide savings to us. I think that, you know, my opinion is we need to recommend this to the board. How we do the shortage fall, the $3.5
million. It's administration.
We're going to administration to give us a plan.
We'll work on it.
And work on it.
Excuse me?
Could you not recommend for the whole 3.5 to be...
Well,
in the event that we don't,
both options, that's what I'm saying. They need to give us the options.
Let's see the full 3.5 finance,
and then whatever you can recover, then and into that.
Find out is there a penalty for early payoff? If we get the recapture, we give them the $1 million, and because 2.55% interest is phenomenal.
Well, the problem with that,
we can finance the entire amount, say yes, and then worry about our recapture.
As long as there's no penalty.
Absolutely.
The
question to me is, what's the penalty? And if I recall, I asked these guys this before, and they said none. But and I don't want to be the one who's...
Well, we need to see, because this is a different type of financing than the bond. Mm-hmm. This is different. So we need to really check on that. Okay? This is not a bond.
Can you find that out?
Yes. And I'll give the attorney so that he can
So
just, like,
let's find out if there's a prepayment penalty on part of it or not.
That's because what we're doing is we're doing that before we get the recapture.
Exactly.
We
right.
don't know.
And if the other issue is, if it's going to be amortized over 15 years, and what the increase is from that extra $1 million or so that we're going to have to, if we do finance it, what the extra payment on just that $1 million will be, because we have to take that into account on our budget process through M&O, because that's coming out of our M&O. And if we have to take out a sizable portion, that could mean some extra, you know, what we do, some extra PEZ that we do, like teacher spots during the year that we budget for extra.
We just need those questions answered from
and I don't necessarily want to not have any provision for extra spots during the year we're going to finance this extra money.
I think we'll be able to. I think if you voice it like you're saying, and then we can do it, because I do think we're about ready when we get back from spring break, looking at all the needs assessment, looking at everything that we need, so that we're going to have a pretty good idea of the personnel that we need for the campuses, and you know what I mean? So I think we'll have that question, that variable solidified, and so the one we won't have is this.
Well, the other issue is, I know it's putting a lot of strain on you guys right now at this time, but is there a possibility that we could have a preliminary budget? I know, it's coming up soon anyways.
You just gave me, I'm seeing red. Sorry, it'll be the last. A line bolt on his eye.
I know we're starting the budget process early, but it's really important in this matter.
I do.
But
I can find out.
And the other issue is, because this is not the only shortfall we're facing. We're facing the shortfall in the PK through 8. How much are we at that? 2 million?
Yeah.
Okay. So we've got other issues to deal with besides just the shortage on this.
Is that still 2 million above the 18 million? Because you're at 18 million, right?
Yeah.
Plus. So you're still 2 million short?
Yes.
So
then we
and now we just found out it may be another 600,000 short because of the E-rate non-funding.
and dirt work as well.
Yeah. So what you've got another
is the 14.28, the total amount of the project. The bond accounts for 10.75, the difference being 3.5 on there. You want to finance everything so your shortfall is only $1 million and have that difference so we can have action on the 26th?
Yeah, or give us a plan on financing it all. And, okay. But I want to know what the difference in finances, Inez, between 2.5 and 3.5.
Yeah.
In other words, what extra M&O is it coming out of the budget to do that extra $1 million?
We're going to do it. It's just we need to know the options.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We need to know how we're going to do it.
Exactly. And you also said something at the beginning of this that we needed to have more contribution. Why was the contribution required? On the bottom, you have additional contribution, $1.9 million.
In other words, when they looked at how much they could, the total cost of the project, how much they could finance, then they determined how much our upfront contribution had to be. Our upfront contribution was more than the 10.7 that we have in the bond.
Right.
Wow. So we have, okay.
Yeah.
That answers it. Thank you.
But that's what you're alluding to.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Well, guys, actually, you know, I didn't think we were going to be able to do this when we first got the initial estimate.
Yeah, no.
Of $17 million, and then they told us $22 million if you want to do the, remember?
Yeah.
That part?
Yeah.
I didn't think we were going to be able to put a package together that was going to do all our campuses.
We are.
But we're pretty close to doing that with only a $3.5 million shortfall. So that's
significant.
I mean, it's bad, but it could have been worse.
It's looking like slowly doable. So it's coming along.
So I think are we in agreement to recommend this to the board and give options on the financing?
Yes, yeah. Please make sure it's on the agenda because
it's
time sensitive.
But I'd like to see the financing options by this weekend before spring break, and I bet she can do that. It's not like it's, you know, A, is there a pre-penalty? B,
all of
I think it's more than that. I think it has to do with Johnson Controls and stuff like that. Let me see if I can swing that. Yeah, let me see if I can.
Because all next week is spring break.
Yes.
So it'd be best to know about it early if possible.
Let me talk to Mike and see. He's pretty hardworking and intense. Let me see if he can.
But I do believe that Martha already knows the answer to that because I've asked the question.
Yeah, but maybe not for all the case scenarios.
Okay.
So, I mean, yeah. Okay, I'll work
on it. All right. The other issue is there, and that's other thing we didn't talk about, and they mentioned it, is that we're still forgetting, is we're still another 100,000 or so short, even apart from that, if we want to do the LEED certification on the high school and Garcia.
Yeah, I mean...
Can you find out what
the final cost is and see?
What's it going to get us?
Well,
we'll be the only ones in the state.
Yeah.
Well, my understanding from Johnson Controls is that the high school, in terms of the points allotment, we're very close to a lead gold for the high school.
It's about time.
That would be awesome. Like, for example, if they wanted to go after the high school and
if we
the rest
can
of the
get that, I think it would be more than well worth it.
High school and the new school.
Is it just
a nice award.
Award? Uh-huh. Yeah, but it's guaranteeing that you meet those.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
But
it's
I think we have
teachers
other
in
needs.
The classroom.
We have other needs that surpass that.
What it does is it caps our savings. It caps our savings.
She was the West Region Council representative.
If we were in the position to be able to say, you know what, let's do it, but right now you're having to think about ways to cut back to be able to comply with this. You know what I'm saying? And it's, to me, that is one thing that if it can't be done, it can't be done.
Yeah.
I think if, just for example, in the case of the high school, because it has a geothermal and it's so close, if you wanted to, like, get for the lead gold, and then you could flash that around and be like, hey, Kenny Teo, I think that's cool.
I can tell you what
cool,
the community
but,
members are going to say.
Okay.
It's exactly that. It's
exactly
to make
that.
You look good.
You know that.
Not to make us look good.
What it does is it caps our utility savings. That guarantees that our utility savings will not go above a certain amount. Yeah. So it's not just an award on the wall. Initially,
well,
that's what I thought.
There's a whole process.
It's like
that means
award.
They have to commission it.
There again, you have to
right?
communicate that to the community so
exactly.
they understand it.
Exactly.
But
and it has to be worded that
if
way.
If it's going to affect some of what was already, I don't want to say promised, projected.
No, it's not separate.
Say,
it's separate.
You know,
no, it's separate.
No.
It's separate. A separate deal.
No, I know. But if it's going to take away from something here, I say no.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm not going. I'm not even
priority
including that we're going to take it out of there.
Yeah.
It would just be something separate that you'd have to take out from somewhere else, like
yeah.
the fund balance or something.
Yeah.
Not
yeah,
not from any of the
yeah.
bond proceeds at all.
Again,
well, right, and we know. I mean,
balance.
You had that same notion with the LEED certification for the pre-K through 8.
Yeah.
If it's
going to affect the project,
then
I don't want it. It's only if we have money from other sources that we can get that we would do it.
We're not pulling from the bond.
No, we're not. I don't want to pull it off from the bond.
Mr.
And I've always said that.
I can follow up with my lead girl.
Yes.
I just finished the Army Reserve Center in Montana.
Oh.
They have solar panels and they have.
It's a big one, too.
Different things
yeah.
incorporated into the project. And the Army Reserve Center and the Corps of Engineers never put it in for LEED certification, although it's supposed to be built to silver. So I investigated it. The contractor came and applied for it. It's like $2,200. So you could go back to Baines
mm-hmm.
and ask him to apply for it.
That's a good idea.
Excellent idea.
It's a great idea. Good faith.
He gets
his name
on it, gets to flash it around.
Well,
because
they're one of the CMRs
on
our short list.
Yeah, shortlisted.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
From my back.
Like you said, they get the bragging rights.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. That's a. Thank you, Oscar. That was a great recommendation.
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else? Any questions?
Custodial.
So we're going to recommend
Johnson Controls.
The options. Based on
are we in agreement to recommend it? Okay. All right. The committee will recommend the Johnson Controls Phase 2 performance contract. The other thing to the board for approval, subject to the amounts to be financed, to be discussed at the board meeting.
Okay. On March 26th.
On the 26th.
Make sure it's on the agenda.
Yes, I have.
The other thing, my question, Jennifer, is the amount for the third-party overview is a separate deal we'd already...
It's a separate deal, $27,000, and that's going to be on the March agenda.
That'll be on there, okay.
I think that's already on there, sir.
It's already
okay.
on there. Mm-hmm.
All right. Any other questions, guys?
Nope.
Okay. That's actually good news.
Custodial.
Very good news. All right. Next agenda item.
Agenda item 2B, item 7, purchase of custodial equipment.
This is just to show you. We previously have a yearly budget of $24,000 for custodial. So Joe went around. He did an assessment. You can see his inventory of all of our existing equipment, what he plans to buy this year, what he plans to buy next year. And to make sure that the lead custodians were tracking with what exactly they needed and to line up and focus assessment, you can see what each campus is getting and the signature of the lead. And just to tell you that we'll be taking this purchase to the board. We went to 3 vendors on Region 15, and it's they bid it, and there was on the same equipment, the same product list. And so this is just
quite a substantial difference from one of the...
Yeah.
I looked at that. I was like, I don't want to look at it again.
And then they do the cost comparison.
Okay. Questions, Lori?
No, I'm happy with it.
No questions.
Yeah, it's just a routine.
All right, we'll recommend it to the board. Next agenda item.
Is the round table? Is there a particular?
No, just let's have everybody come up here.
Come on up.
Thank you, Mr. Cardenas.
Good night, Mr. Cardenas.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Jennifer, follow up.
Yes, sir. Yes. All right. So we have several architects. Is it okay if we, let's see. Is Philo over here?
He's over there drinking, so...
He's over there drinking? Okay, all right.
Drinking what?
Drinking what?
Well, there's only soda here.
Water.
Oh, it'll be a test.
All right. Jerry, you want to go... you guys want to go first? Well, we've already given you kind of like a general update on all of the architects.
Right.
And so one of my first requests is, do you think that it would be possible to put the round table at the beginning of the meeting?
Sure, so we can get everybody out.
Yeah.
You bet.
The thing is that, like, not that everybody doesn't love to hear Dawson Cooper's presentation, but, you know, it would be so much easier on, I think,
everyone. Why don't we do that, and Annette, if you'll tell next time around, tell Tony to put the...
On the facilities committee next time we go to the round table first?
Yeah, put the round table under A.
And then my next question is, you know, from right now until the projects break ground, there's really, you know, they've also been, there's really just not a lot of action until we've got them hired at your April meeting and stuff. Is the expectation that the architects come every month?
No. Once we've got the plan in place, I think when the construction starts is really when we want to be.
Okay. All right. Well, that being said, did you guys have any questions for Jerry Gutierrez or for any of the three architects? We only have one agenda item regarding them. That's the fee proposal for M&K Architects for the building addition that you see here.
Yes.
Linking the two classroom wings.
Right.
So this request is going to the board on behalf of M&K Architects this at your direction this coming meeting, and they're on track. Jerry's tracking along. Al's got his loves of his work under construction. Is there anything that you guys have for those three architects?
Adrian, is anything for the three architects?
Kind of like the three tenors.
Was particular to the earthwork part?
No. Well, in other words, before we go into the civil, before we go into Carl Daniels' presentation, the three architects that are doing the district-wide projects. Wanda, did you have anything for Jerry or M&K or Al?
Were they just going to present on it?
They were just here for the round table.
No. The design obviously is complete.
Yeah, you can see the stack right here. This is this entire stack is a product of everyone's hard work here. All of that's been distributed to the five CFOs just for their general information. It's gone to SCORE.
That's what you want.
It's gone to VMAC. Everyone's looking it over. We've got the meeting in April. So they're pretty much just, you know.
I have some questions, but I wanted Adrian and Lori, ask some questions if you guys first, if you guys want to.
No, not in particular to the architects.
Okay.
No,
Lori?
I'm fine.
I do. I have a question. Okay. If we get our CMRs hired quickly, for example, Jerry, and Jennifer, what is your proposal on Jerry's projects that we start the construction?
All three architects are slated to start July 1st.
Okay.
So my recommendation would be that the architects come back for the first meeting in July.
Okay. That's fine. Now, the CMR is going to be on our...
the final to select one, that's coming to you in April.
April?
At the board meeting.
Right.
And the GMPs are coming to you in June.
Okay. All right. And that gives us enough time to...
Right.
Okay.
Right now, kind of, on our design, we're a little bit ahead. Really, to say that we're in...
Right.
A lot of us here are... More than design development. But I think for us, I think what was very critical for that CMR to be
on board
our drawings. So at least if there's any revision
before you go to the
because right now we are very far along.
Very far along. Yeah.
Yeah. We need them to review it to make sure that we're within budget and.
Okay.
Yeah. Then we've done that with VMAC and everything.
And there's no way to speed that up before April
on
the CMRs.
God. We're like at full speed.
Yeah.
Like, I know sometimes full speed does not.
Right.
But we are like.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Just checking to see if we could.
Yeah, like.
Another thing that Jennifer mentioned is kind of the recommendations that Dinette came out with. We took them to CARD and said, okay, let's use those and start kind of modifying our laws.
Right. Okay.
We did see that we needed to kind of save some money, and I think it was cool for us to do that.
Well, thank you, Oscar, for.
They really.
Oh, yeah.
Because at that point, they were, I guess our schematic design, they reviewed our schematic and said, okay, Muscle Minnows, this is where you're at.
Okay.
So this is kind of where the savings are. And for me, kind of, I think our office, we said, okay, let's take those to CARD and really create these alternates or these deductions that we were better off.
So then in the case of Jerry's projects, because everyone has kind of a unique situation, I had written a letter to Dr. Blanca Enriquez from the community college like in January. So I wrote her again last week, and she'd confirmed again, like, hey, don't worry, like, I'm going to get them out by July. So, because she has to move all those portables at AMS for Jerry to break ground, you know?
Correct.
So I've written her twice, and she's like, yes, no problem, I got it, I'm tracking. And then Jerry and I met with the community college about his NHS project, and we promised to get them a set of drawings. So we've met with them, and, you know, we're pricing out their portion separately so they can reimburse us for that expense. So we're taking care of that.
What's your deadline for them to remove those portables at
July 1st.
July 1st?
Mm-hmm. They have to till the end of June.
And when will we be done if we
just get rid of them now?
Well,
I think let's say construction would start, let's say one July.
Yeah, construction is we would like to start construction July 1, so we gave them until the 30th
of June. You gave them to the day before to get rid of the portables.
Just for information, I am the architect.
He's the architect. Yeah.
But so. What's the issue is kind of with what you know, kind of with the government now, kind of something that they were going to kind of move some money to put these portables in a different site. Now that pretty much with the government cutting the monies, now she has to kind of, okay, let me kind of reshuffle the game plan.
All right.
But if I remember, there's like four or five portables, mm-hmm. Modular buildings that they will have to move to a different site. The other ones that are kind of closest to
the building.
Those are really have to, if you
get that thrown down.
They got to do something, but they got to follow the rules of and I don't know really the terminology, but of disposal of that type of public money, because
they got to take it off the books. So, but I just wanted to tell you, look, I like January, I'm like 6 months ahead of time. Here's the letter, here's everything. Mm-hmm. Second email, hey, here's the letter again. I copied Ms. Brigham for extra authority. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean,
is there anything
I'm doing everything I can, okay?
Okay?
I mean, like, and I'm being as
well, you know what, I'm going, if you could,
right?
What you could do is, that's under Region 19, right?
From my lawyer.
I'm going to the ITAC on April 3rd or 4th.
Yes.
And if you could send me all your prior things that I will meet, I'll talk to them too. Because we've been asking them to move that since I've been principal of that school.
How long ago was that?
I could have used it as a playground.
Well, there's another option too. And one of the things that I was writing, because I was looking at the A133 or whatever, it says, like, I put a thing in there with, if there's other structures or whatever that the contractor is required to remove, you know, he can put them as a direct reimbursable. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking of AMS, if we needed to move them so we could start the project, they could give us a cost for that, which we could charge
back to Region 19,
and we wouldn't be delayed.
All right. So. I just want to make sure that when we're scheduled to start, that we're going to start.
Yeah.
That, you know, if they're not out by this date, we're moving them and you owe us.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Maybe that's a letter that Steve can help me with. Yeah. Okay. That's right. A little beyond my nice
you,
little card.
No, you've been right. More than, you know, yeah. Accountable okay. To that.
All right, so that's at the Alderete campus. Now, at Neches, everything's...
It looks very positive.
To start positive. Also on July 1? And.
Oh, yeah, and those guys are great. They ran sleeves under the reed. They're very good planners.
How long will it take for the construction at the Neches?
I think we put, how many calendar days? Like 1 day?
7 months.
7 months? Yeah.
7 months?
It's in the bid.
So by February, we'd be up and running?
Yeah.
All right.
And it was kind of good that we're coming into a good season. And normally, the July to August, September, you know, so you're good for that time.
All right.
Great.
And then time construction at Alderete?
Alderete, I think we have it. We have the main building. We're showing it at 9, but I think we're going to do more like at 10 months.
Okay. So by next summer, it'll be done.
Next year, yeah.
All right.
It's a school year.
Yeah. Oscar?
And you'll be able to see that.
We had a business outreach that you missed.
I missed it too. I meant to go.
There was like about 105 businesses there.
Wow. Yes, it was.
Do any of them move buildings?
You couldn't even find parking.
Yeah.
There were so many businesses that showed up for this deal. Yeah.
You couldn't find a parking place.
That's awesome.
Great American.
It has started a big, you know, excitement. So the quicker you pick a CMR and get some stuff on the streets, because these drawings are very, very, very close to be out for bids. The CMRs would have to, like, you know, bundle them together on how they would want to see the bid packages come back.
And there may be an opportunity to expedite it too, right?
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. So
because the sooner you get it on the street, the quicker we go to market. We can beat a lot of those other projects that are hidden.
The $3 billion in construction, you mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The hospital is under protest right now. So.
Oh, good.
You're kidding? Really? Gosh, the CEOs are?
What?
Really?
What did you do?
So the awarding contractor is being protested by 300 contractors.
No, but you did.
So, I mean, we're like, because, you know, you have only to get them to 90% in order for the CMR, you know, to go from there. So they're due on Monday the 8th. The evaluations are on the 9th. The special board meeting can be either on the evening of the 9th or the evening of the 10th, and that gives us Thursday and Friday to sit down with the CMRs and the architects. For our first meeting and kickoff. So we are ready to roll.
Okay, well then let's backtrack from that and let's make sure that if we need another board meeting quick,
yes.
Fine, but yeah. let's make sure we need to get this pushed.
No, the district-wide projects are in
good shape.
We're trudging along. Martha's giving us money. We've got the plans. We're all good. Is there anything else?
Guys?
They're all on the evaluation committees. They've all got their invites, and we're all...
All right, so they'll be there for the CMR?
Yeah.
Okay. Questions?
I think I got ahead of myself. I was going to ask about the Mink CMS edition.
They're going to cover it right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm ahead of myself.
Yeah.
Well, we were going to go ahead and move all the items for these three architects so they could go to bed.
Right.
So this is the drawing for that. It's two classrooms on one side, and then it's the
And we provided an exit only because the long corridor you need
to the back of the building, not to the front of the building.
Right to the back. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
Cool. Is there a difference?
Johnson Controls knows about this?
Yes, Johnson Controls. Their engineer is not here tonight, Garrett Brown. Mm-hmm. He's received all of the architects, all of the drawings from M&K, and when they have drawings for this, I'm sure she'll forward it to them.
So our fee proposal includes doing mechanical for that area.
Oh, nice.
So, okay. Because it's new.
Perfect.
Right.
And that'll be in our
Johnson Control would not
March 26th meeting.
They don't need any.
Right. You However,
they need to tie into
all
it
the though. Architects have received the two-page standards that Johnson
Controls. It's a standalone thing. So, no, they don't need to be involved.
Okay.
No, however, in all the work that they've received, like this two-page standard that Johnson Controls wrote over their guidelines, how the controls have to be compatible, blah, 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 mm-hmm. and all that, provided by them. So they could coordinate it, even though it's an independent project.
It's an independent project, but it's still going to be part of the overall control of the campus. Is that what I'm understanding?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it'll work
alongside.
Together.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's where I was confused.
Great.
Thank you.
Great. Okay. Questions for
Can we recommend it to the board?
There is no cost right now. This is just
the fee proposal is.
From my understanding, that was not part of this.
That's correct.
Uh-huh.
And it's being proposed to be paid with the wastewater saving, though.
Yes,
correct.
Yes.
Savings. It's going to the campus. It was supposed to be for the campus.
So nothing from the bond project is going to
be. Do you know where it is?
No, it's...
You're on that empty spot.
No, yeah, I know.
It's money from the savings that was allotted to CMS.
For this school.
And that's because the principal jumped up at that.
Actually,
she's a good advocate. She's a good advocate.
Actually, that campus is still going to need more money down the road.
No.
No.
A lot more.
I'm not going to tell you what Mr. Medina says.
Yeah.
My suggestion is radical.
I'm not saying.
Dig a hole, put some dynamite in it, and see it go away.
Oh, you've been tainted by those city people.
I like Asarco going down.
Okay. Any more questions for the...
No additional
the
questions.
Three tenors?
The three tenors.
Okay, guys, thank you all very much. Appreciate your work.
Thank you.
Oh, I do have one question for
Al.
In
the beginning next time, okay?
The baseball field, when construction will start, and that will be one of the first items, or what?
Yeah, it'll be the same as all of them.
At all of them?
I think what I'm understanding is going to be as a package.
And that'll be in the, but can that be done in the summer?
I'm sure it can.
Which softball field?
It's one of the smallest, shortest.
The baseball field upgrades at the high school.
Oh,
okay.
The concession stands. Yeah.
And the concession and restrooms, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that could be done over the summer.
I'm sure we just need to coordinate with them two and then until we get it done.
Perfect. Okay. All right. That was my only question on that.
Okay. So that's it for M&K, GA. Philo Wilkie, anything else?
Yeah.
No?
Al, when you get a chance, can you give, are the drawings for the baseball field upgrades there? Okay. Jennifer, can you pull out just that section of that copy to give to Judge Garcia?
Yeah.
Okay.
Garcia baseball park?
No, that's his dad. That's his dad. The field was named after his dad, remember?
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Gonzalo. Good night. Thank you.
Do you remember on the road
turns Oh, yeah. I remember.
Yes.
The poor people who lived there. They dug the hole and pushed the whole thing. It's
still there.
It's still there.
It's like 6 feet down. I think the guy wonders why his land doesn't drain.
Okay.
Okay. So that just leaves us with A and B.
A
and B.
All right.
Well, we can get the B out of the way real quick because that's easy.
All right.
B is just an NCON speed proposal for geotech and construction materials testing. And this is just for the rough grading earthwork package. And so you can see their fee proposal there, $53,000. It's been reviewed by BMAC. It's been reviewed by Edgar. And we just were loaned to let you know that we're bringing this to the board in preparation for Carl Daniels' earthwork package. So
I have a question on this. And maybe I'm just not remembering properly, or maybe I'm only looking at a small view. When we bought this that property, uh-huh. It was supposed to come with rough grade of the property.
Mm-hmm.
Well.
Paid for by the owner.
Yes.
So this is the different rough grade.
Well, yeah, because what they did is bladed, but this is the rough grade that's more in alignment with the architectural design.
I think Mr. Venegas had something on that.
Yeah. Originally, they had proposed to do what they call a sheet grading process.
Yes.
And they had an estimate of around $700,000.
Mm-hmm.
And the previous architects said, no, leave it as is. And the district got the $700,000 knocked off the price. So it's really, let's say, in the original state. There's nothing been done to it.
They were directed to not grade it.
Yeah, it was $3.1 million they were wanting, a one, or $3.2 million, something like that.
Even though we bought it with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on.
We do think, just for our opinion, too, we think the previous architects did advise you correctly in making the decision not to spend the $750 on grading it, because we would be actually regrading it now. So you're paying some more money. So we think they did the right thing.
But
the
I think there was a gap between original architect,
because
they went away. And there was nobody. There was a lapse. There was no one and nothing during the period of time when we purchased the property. And I thought that in the purchase agreement, there was $50,000 worth of grading. And it was transferred out. No, you know, we're going to take some money off of there, but we will give you a basic rough grade.
They didn't do it, obviously. Okay.
Not that I remember.
It's okay.
We do think it was the right decision. We don't think it saves any money the way we're doing it right now, but we're actually going to get the site graded the way we are, because the way we're using the site with the tiering now, we would have to regrade what they bladed.
What they had done anyhow. Okay.
So we're actually kind of glad that it.
They didn't.
That you did it the way you did it and saved the money on the purchase price to allow us to now grade it the way the building design works.
Right. Okay.
Now they have offered the district more dirt if you want it.
We don't need more dirt.
Let's not go there, guys.
Yeah.
And so with that, we went back and we had a meeting with everyone, civil engineers, because we've all got one now. And so anyways, we reworked the civil package, and it's very nice. So with that, if you guys want to.
Just a quick overview. The evening is, I know, wearing long, and we'll just be quick. I'll give you a quick overview. Ugo Saldana is here, my partner, of course, who's really the designer of the school. And Jorge Garcia, our civil engineer, has been working like a young one lately. As you know, we turned in the 25% construction document package on February the 19th. There's almost 200 sheets here worth of drawings. After that, we had a board meeting where we discussed the relevant height of the football field to Garden Pass, or Castle Romero, excuse me. And after that, we did, as Jennifer said, redraw the drawings in here that are the 11 civil sheets into a what is a completed rough grading package now. And that rough grading package has been completed by Jorge after a review meeting with Jennifer on Monday and her staff. And it has actually been submitted to the city of El Paso, signed and sealed, for their comments. And so that while the city is reviewing it and we're getting ready for their comments, Oscar will be preparing a bid package so that as we put it out for bid, we will have any city comments that we might need to incorporate into the bid package without any real surprises. And so we also need to give Jennifer, and we'll do this tomorrow, that entire package signed and sealed so that she can submit it to the Hunt companies for their review. They have the right to review all of our drawings. And so this is the first package, and we'll get that.
This is just the earthwork?
It is just the rough grading.
Okay.
That is very true. Just the rough grading package. And because that's going to take 3 months or so, we might as well get that going while we keep on.
How soon do you expect all this to take? Hunt to view it, city to look at it and bid, and I mean, right, to start earthwork, you know, when do you expect?
We wanted to have it out for bids at the end of this month.
Okay.
And then they have 2 weeks to give us the pricing. And then so we start probably around April the 15th if everything goes smooth.
Great.
So we actually had a question for you all because, you know, VMAC has an original contract amount, and when we did like their services for the project management for the, you know, district-wide projects, they gave us a contract amendment for a certain dollar amount for which I did a PO,
right,
so they could get paid and all that. Now, since their general construction is in two phases, did you want us to bring the GMP for the earthwork package to finalize that dollar amount with any monies being left over rolling over to the other one so you would know what that dollar amount is? I would think so, just because I think that Martha, if I didn't have a plan for that, would probably like
hemorrhage.
Mm-hmm. So my question, Martha, is this. The pre-K through 8 now has two bid packages. So we finalized a dollar amount for their for VMAC services on the front end of their agreement, and we cut that PO for that their professional services, right? Now, instead of having a GMP for the entire project, they're going to have received bids. There's like two bid packages. So in order to be able to pay them for the earthwork package, I'm thinking that we would have to finalize the dollar amount for the earthwork package, get the vote, board to vote, yes, it's okay, you would cut us a PO for the earthwork package, and then in the contract you say any money to roll over to the next one, and then we take it from there, right? Okay. So we would plan to take that to you.
As long as you just run it by Steve and make sure what we need to do as far as the documentation, that's fine.
Yeah, because the only thing that I told Jennifer that, you know, to
expedite
it, yeah, you know,
yeah,
to skip the voting process, as long as it stays under the budget of overall.
Right. We're okay with it.
I was telling them that we could take it to the 8th. It's because I can't cut your pay for the big amount, because that's like a...
No, Martha will just that. Like be just like... Just for that portion of the work that we're asking for.
Sure.
So Carl and I had done this before. So.
Okay. I think the board...
We can just recommend.
These are the revised paperwork. We've been sealed now and updated with a couple things from our Monday meeting, and it turned into the city for their conference.
Right now, we've gone with the concrete benches.
I love the...
With the what?
Concrete benches.
And I waited
for a...
Yeah, there's a berm.
There's a quotation.
Yeah.
Because they sell the forms for benches, for concrete benches. And if they come in at the right number, then I'm thinking it's probably pretty close to the trade-off for the aluminum ones, believe it or not.
Great.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, I was surprised.
Really?
Good.
But it depends on the form rentals and how long it's going to take.
Will be in another package. So
yeah.
We're going to use it over.
Yeah, no, I understand. Yeah.
Making sure we're not leaving a hill.
No.
They're so comfortable either way. Metal, concrete.
The concrete guy in the office is the one that came up with the idea. Maybe even with the baseball park, there'll be plenty of those around.
Yeah. That's right, huh?
Yeah.
Oh.
I didn't even think about that.
And probably some skilled tradesmen.
Yeah, well, the forms will be available locally for that kind of purpose.
There we go.
So, it looks really nice. We're getting close. April board meeting, we think. And so, yeah.
This is great stuff, guys.
Yeah, it has a drainage system in front of the concrete benches.
I saw that.
This is great.
We have put Jorge through the ringer over the last several weeks to make the adjustments.
Look how many elevations they gave us.
Those are the correct ones.
These are the correct ones?
Yeah. Yeah.
Will our rain catch system work?
Yeah. You mean off the roof?
Uh-huh.
Oh, absolutely. We have one at Cheshire Garden Elementary School. Yeah.
But this one down at the track, though, in the field, makes no sense because there's drainage right there, right?
I mean the roof.
But in fact, he has a storm drainage included in there. You want to talk a little bit about your drainage ponds and how it goes underneath and how they overflow? Explain. That's a very nice feature.
Especially the port at the front, the part of the campus, the entire from the building down. It will go into those green areas or the landscape areas.
Mm-hmm. Good.
And the water will get in there and it will be detained. It will not be retention, but it will be detained. It will be slowed down in there. And then it will jump like three phases. It will fill the downstream one, and then it will go downstream.
That's cool.
And it will fill the next one.
Yeah.
And then it will fill the next one until you have three basins in a series, until it catches the drop in.
So it fills, and it goes to the next one, and then finally it goes to the stormwater. And then the other thing that they did was, like, they added, like, the rolled curbs, you know, usually the water. So now it just goes from straight into the landscaping area, so you're recapturing that water.
And the idea is to minimize what goes into stormwater so that we have a retainer on site so it goes back into the water.
Percolates back into
the...
Right, exactly. That's a good idea.
So yes. Those little nice details,
the
like
only
you
other concern
find
is
in,
that
like, in College Station
the
and
easement
stuff.
That the city has.
Nice.
The back end.
Phoenix area does a lot of that.
Yeah.
I need to talk to the city.
Right?
You know what, Saint Pete, they just outlawed the roof.
I really have to push some dirt off of there.
Because it's not going back into the ground and they're not
really
recharging their
work on their
sites.
You know, and I know.
But on the other hand, what they were doing,
we talked about this when we did the site visit, is to request that we, you know, kind of put it together half and half. Just make it a road to access the back end of this site.
Huh?
It's really not even through.
And they showed the rock wall along Cavalier Boulevard with the wrought iron.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
Along the football field site, they got a rock wall with the wrought iron.
Yeah.
Those are the only two areas that Hunts.
He went out of business. But maybe he's going to get back into it. I'll find out.
So along the back side?
The rest of it, there's no requirement from the Hunts.
He's probably got some legal issues too.
They all do.
Yeah. I was going to ask him about putting
good.
Good stuff.
I'm starting to understand you.
could be scary.
I know.
The problem is if you understand her, then it's bad.
We need to get another contract.
I know. No, I'm understanding.
So is this
All right. Well, that's it for facilities.
Hold on. No, that's my birthday.
We're done.
All right.
This is me.
Any other questions, Lori?
No.
Adrian?
No.
Well, thank you, guys. Everything's looking really good. I think we've got a great solution to the football field, the stadium. Thank you, guys. Oscar, everybody.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm trying.
Thank you.
I can see. But isn't that good? I mean, I'm looking at this thing. I said, I actually take one of those things. Go down to the thing and say, well, have you removed this? Have you put this in?
Yeah, exactly.
No, but I mean, it's... I like having a cookbook.
Yeah, isn't it fun?
Isn't that... That's like a cookbook.
Oscar, thank you.
The fruit salad.
The fruit was awesome.
Thank you for the sandwich and the fruit salad.
Huh?
Thanks for the fruit salad and the coconut.
You got it.
I am lucky. I tried to hide that from you. I gave him to Sergio, too.
All right.
I already called her with the oranges. I'm good with all of that.
All right. Betty, ¿cómo estás? Good night. Nos vemos. We're almost done. Ready, Adrian?
Yes.
All right.
I took eight of them.
This is all. All right. Finish with, we're finished with the round table. Next agenda item.
Agenda item 2C, finance, presenter Ms. Aguirre and Mr. Gatlin. Item 1, district financials for February 1st through the 28th, 2013.
All right. Martha.
Hello.
Tell
us the financials first.
Yes,
financials first. Quick rundown,
what's that?
Quick rundown of the financials.
And I know Ms. Lori's already talked to you about warrants. So.
Yes,
Ms. Mm-hmm.
And I spoke about the warrants.
We're on top of it.
Awesome.
I guess I'll start with reviewing page one of our financials, which is our funds, 196 and 199 funds. And I know that our tax revenue, the last couple months I had been sharing, although it had increased, was a little bit sluggish as compared to last year at the same time. But the revenues as of February 28th are at 66% collected, which is the equivalent of $31.4 million. At this same time last year, we had collected 62%, which was $28.2 million. And so we're getting back on track as far as our revenue collection. Our expenditures right now are at 63% compared to 64% that we had last year. And that's our expenditures out of the local budget. Just to kind of, as we talk quite a bit about our required state programs and the expenditures we have to do, if you'll notice on page two, the state content fund, we are now at 64.80%, which is a very good percentage compared to last year when we were at 38.67. If you remember, we have to have a 52% overall expenditure. And so right now the goals are, you know, they're a little bit sluggish, but we're getting closer to that required percentage expenditure by March 30. Under the food service, we are at a 50% collected, about $2 million. This same time last year, we had collected $2.1 million. And the only reason that we're not showing additional revenue in there was that the revenue or expenditure reports to the feds hadn't been given to us to post it in the general financials. But the revenue is coming in as well. Under the debt service, we're at 104% collected, so our debt service is on target. If we go to page 5 under the statement of cash and investment balances, we're reflecting $54.4 million in the bank accounts, and it's a decrease of $1.3 million. And the reason that we've got less cash is that we're actually building things and paying off some of our construction projects. So it's those 2006 bonds that are starting to come out. So that's a good move on as far as the bond is concerned. Let me see. Our analysis of tax collections, we are reflecting $21.5 million. This is page 7, I apologize. We're reflecting $21.5 million in tax collections. At this time last year, we had collected $19.7 million. And so we have an increase of $1.7 million. Under the comparative tax collection report, which is page 8, it shows that we've got $23.5 million estimated to be received, and of that, we've received $21.5 million, which is at 91%. In comparison to last year's, we had collected $19.7 million. Although it shows that if we had collected 95% last year at the same time, it was at the dollar amount. Obviously, the property revenue is higher this year than it was last year.
So for the last 4 months, you expect to collect the remaining?
The remaining, yeah. In addition to the local revenue, what happened, the property taxes, pretty much the lump of them is through December through about March.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just get probably the penalty, the delinquents, and those are the ones that come in at the end.
So another $2 million in 4 months.
Mm-hmm. Under the workers' comp, we're reflecting that we've paid out in contributions, we've had $260,000 paid, compared to last year's $227,000 in contributions. And district paid out $273,000 in claims through the month of February. At the same time last year, we had paid $395,000, so the claims have decreased in workers' comp. Under the health care fund, we've received $3.3 million in premiums, to be exact, 3.33 compared to the 3.30 that we had last year. So we're right on target there. As far as expenses in the health care fund, we've paid out 3.4. At the same time last year, we were at 2.8 million. And so we had several, and I've been mentioning this to you the last couple of months, we have reached some stop-loss levels, and so we are now waiting for that turnaround in funding back to the district for the excess funds we've paid. Under the construction budget analysis, under the that's a page, well, it's pages 11 through 15. Under the bond series 2006, we've recorded $561,000 as compared to last year. We've got $560,000 worth of expenditures for the 2006 bond. We have $129,000 encumbered. That leaves us a budget of $8.1 million. Of those 8.1, we've got the $3 million that have been discussed quite a bit regarding that was a bond debt relief that was set aside for that purpose. Under the 2011 bond funds, we have $933,000 encumbered. That's on page 15. And year-to-date expenditures, we are at $1.2 million. Which is when we talked about the investment and how our cash on hand has already reduced. Well, it's due to these expenditures. There is $17.8 million still in that account, waiting for all these projects to to get going. Our enrollment report for the month of February shows that the district increased by 141 students. Our current enrollment as of February 28th was 6,077. At the same time last year, we were at 5,936. So we've maintained at 6,000 and we haven't gone below. I'm just kind of waiting to jump over to that 6,100. Any questions?
Guys?
One.
Okay. The interest rates and the investment haven't changed any?
No, they have not. They've actually, some of them have
dropped
a little bit, but like 0.01. But we're not getting below the lowest that we've had, which is 0.17 or so, but they're not going up. We will be bringing a resolution to you in April, incorporating the BBVA in a securities type of program. Mm-hmm. If board approves, then we will go out to propose additional investments for the bond funds that we'll be getting in June when we do the bond sale. So we're trying to get everything aligned so that once the money hits, we can use a different instruments to invest.
Get a little more.
Yes.
All right.
That's great. When did valuations come in for property?
We're looking at preliminary at the end of March. I did contact the CAD and they said, but they're preliminary.
Yeah.
They won't commit to anything till the actual July, usually about July 25th or so is when the final valuations, or at least for the year, come in. But we start seeing numbers as early as March, and then we get another update early May.
Mm-hmm. Do they vary much between a little bit?
A little bit.
Yeah, not much.
Mm-hmm. But not too much. I will be bringing forward for the March 26th board meeting our preliminary budget presentation. Conservative numbers, I don't want to, until I see the valuations,
I'm
trying to stay conservative and go from there.
I'm just looking at your numbers now, that's a 13% increase in property valuations.
And I'm going a little bit under that.
Under that?
Yes.
Okay.
She's very conservative.
That's good.
Yeah. Any other questions?
No. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Next agenda item.
Agenda item 2C. Item 2-1, this for February 1st to the 28th, 2013.
Lori?
It all went good with a few exceptions. Mr. Giddy has them.
Oh, okay, good.
All right.
The only thing I just want to make sure is that we're on top of that water issue, and I think you were going to get the report from Jennifer to us where we've got the water.
The
CMS leak?
They're still isolating it, correct?
Is this?
They have it. I did give them the name of the facilities guy that was here before. Remember Robert Rebus?
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
he knows all.
And I told him, I said, when I was over at the height at as a technology director, we had to put in underground PVC to cable from one building to another that we put in. And I remember him walking out, and he would say, you can't put it here, you can't put it here, and you can't. So those gentlemen took his name, and because they were saying, because they said, it's isolated, and they said, well, it shouldn't be anything. I said, oh, yeah, there is something under there. And who you need to talk to is this guy. So we actually found his phone number for the plumbers that were there. And
I told him for years he needed to start putting those down on the
remember, he phenomenal if
he yes, he was. He
but had, remember, he Ron? Yes. And he so it, when I was there and they were doing it, because when they said it was isolated to there, and they said, well, nothing's going under there. And I said, oh, yes, there is. And this is the guy you can call. So, but when we went there, they were they were still isolating, but I'd have to check on that.
I wonder if if some water is going somewhere else.
Exactly. to a lot of somewheres. And somebody's over there, okay, your bill is only $15 this month. Yours can be $30. Yeah, their own little water service.
Now,
couple of those windmills.
None of our water lines go over to the pool, do they?
Well, I think Jennifer,
the leak isn't on that pot. No, but the leak isn't in that pot. Actually, they.
But that's part of our water
line? I think Jennifer confirmed that it wasn't.
No.
It wasn't?
Yeah.
I used to work there, and I know that that's a separate line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A long time ago.
Yeah.
It hasn't changed much.
But, but what they did do is they isolated on the other side of the property.
Yeah, it's the
south side, so it's not on. Yeah.
But are you going to get a sinkhole?
Probably.
Oh my God!
Probably.
Can you feel sinkhole? We'll be on the map.
So we get a water leak, and here comes the sinkhole.
Well, we know where some extra dirt is.
Oh, all right, Ron. Yeah, we got That's some right. dirt.
Okay.
That was all. Thank you. And the answers will be in Thursday's.
Adrian, any questions?
Can I put it to the warrant list?
Tomorrow, no. They won't.
Okay.
I trust Lori implicitly.
For the, when we come back from
spring break.
Okay.
We can do a special delivery if you'd like that Monday.
Yeah. Don't we already have a meeting that Monday anyway?
Oh, you have a meeting that Monday?
Yes, we do.
Okay, we can give you the results, huh?
Oh, okay. I can have sure. the report for them.
Is that okay?
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Next item.
Agenda item 2C. Part 3, purchasing. Should I read all of the items or are we putting them individually?
Guys?
I had no problem with any of these.
None.
All right, let's take them all. Read them all out.
Item A, equipment for Culinary Arts Kitchen. Item B, video equipment for CTE program. Item C, laptop computers for CTE program. Item D, iMac computers for CTE program. Item E, email archive system. Item F, VM host upgrade. Item G, desktop computer for district-wide use. Item H, laptop computers for Deanna Delacorte. Item I, desktop computers for Canutio Elementary. Item J, furniture for Canutio Elementary. Item K, dishwasher to include installation for Canutio Elementary. Item L, tilting gas skillet for Jose Damian, mm-hmm. and then an M for work mixer for the choice.
Wow.
Mr. Chair, I could recommend all those.
All right.
I have agreement. The only question I have is on the email archive system.
Yes.
What's the length of this archive system now that we're going from an open source to a Barracuda system? So what's the length and storage capacity is there?
Well, it depends. Like the first time, initially we're looking at, we're not going to archive as much as it can store. What we're looking at, I don't know if that's your question. What the question is, what we're doing is we're going to be sitting with the internal auditor and we're going to be coming up with an archive system which we've never had before for emails. So we're looking at 1 year because when I went, now, Tony Flores, I just sent him to COSIN, and he's just been texting me like a texting fool, saying, oh, this is a great session, and this is, you know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. He's always been to business networking, and this was the first school networking one he went to, and he was just blown away by it.
So the actual system itself will be in line with what our internal auditor would recommend?
We're actually working with him. I mean, and we do talk.
Perfect.
I know.
Don't tell anybody
too much, okay? I don't want that to get out. But no, actually, we're looking at, I've been sending some stuff to him because he had come in, and at first he said, well, you know, Annette, we should look at something at 2 to 3 years. And I said, okay, but why don't you go look at your people, and I'll go look at my people, and we'll go come back. And when I came back from TCEA and when I came back from Midwinter, everybody was saying, you're nuts to do more than a year.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you're liable for open records for more than a year. And that means you almost have to keep somebody.
Do we have to create a policy here to email archiving?
Yes, we have.
Perfect.
So we're working together.
Okay.
But this has never been, and it's just become, because of this past year, this stuff's been driving us nuts.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't believe how labor intensive every time we got an Open Records Act, guys.
This is going to be a lot simpler.
And what it would be is, it would take one of my people hours and hours. And I could say, to the best of our knowledge, I'd have to write. And I'd have to sign off on that. Now, with this, it's going to be much more.
Here you go. Boom, boom.
And so we're going to exceed what the state is saying. And, you know, because, you know, they're not giving us much guidance.
Correct.
But we're following best practices using COBIT. But I kind of—I was just telling that to Hector, and when he heard that, he just backed up. He goes, "You guys are fine." And I went, "Ooh, can I throw that name out again, and use it for something else?" He said, "So no, Tony and him are in constant communication, but this was because I said we need it."
Of course.
Because it's just because of what's been happening.
I think you need to just, you know, period. Open records.
Period.
Yeah, period. It's not in, I mean, brought it to light, but I think it was needed prior.
But it's still a lot of districts are not doing it. But I think
they need to walk a mile in our shoes.
I think that's it.
We're sitting in that hot room.
Sorry. Okay, but does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you very much, Ms. Kirk.
All right. Anybody else? Any? All right. We'll be able to recommend all of them to the board then. All right, guys.
Next item is item 3, community input.
Community input, Lily?
Ron? Lily?
Send it up here.
All right.
Thank you,
left it on
Lily.
The table.
Yay.
Thank you.
On the table,
thank
Lily.
You, Lily.
Good night.
Good night.
That takes us to
happy spring
four.
Break, Lily.
Thank you.
To the adjournment of meeting. Chairperson, if you could please go ahead and call the time.
It's 9:42. And we are adjourned. By consent of the committee.
That was a big meeting, guys, though. That was excellent.
Yeah, thank you, Sergio.
It was good. Thank you, guys.
It was a big meeting, but it was very good.